In the feed tonight, we have our session of Spirit of 77, an Apocalypse World game put out by the Monkey Fun Studios. The PDF is now available on RPG Now and their website at spiritof77games.com. There's some great tools and other useful things there. The players tonight were Richard, Joshua, Sharon, Nick, and Steven. The players were given the instruction to play a character that was based in the 70s from film, TV, or novels. It didn't matter what year the actual media was developed, as long as the character existed in the 1970s era. That leaves a whole lot open, and our players get pretty original. The audio quality in this one is not great. We play our game over Skype, as our players are spread across the globe. We have some echoing in lots of areas where everyone gets really excited and talks over one another. It was too much fun not to post, though, so here you go, in one recording, our Spirit of 77 game.
Well, here we have the gang together, and we are going to try out this game, Spirit of 77, which is new, just now available on RPG Now, books forthcoming. It is based on the Apocalypse World engine, and we are going to go through character creation and an adventure afterwards. Let's see here. We will start off. Richard, you have an idea for a character.
I'm Richard, and at Bert's preamble before, Bert's specifications for this was, hey, we're going to do League of Extraordinary Gentlemen style thing. So I picked Steve Austin, the $6 million man. I've got all the bionics ready.
All right, and we'll start with you and looking at these rap sheets and just kind of show how we would build Steve Austin in the Spirit of 77 system. Essentially, you start off with a role and a story. The basic roles are the bopper, which is a gang leader, the good old boy, the honeypot, the rocker, the sleuth, the tough guy, and the vigilante. Out of these, Steve Austin could probably fit at least a couple of these that I'm seeing. Of course, the tough guy, but also the vigilante, possibly.
Ah, so the bits afterwards, they're an add-on, are they? Or, because I was just looking at one at the bottom, which was X-Tech.
Ah, that is next. That is the story.
That is the story. Ah, okay, clever.
Start with the role.
You take two
first.
Bits, so you've got twice as many things. Clever. I don't really see him as the tough guy right now because he had so many other things. I looked over some stuff, and he can do bionic swimming, bionic deep sea fishing, bionic wood carving, bionic
wrestling with Bigfoot, the bionic Bigfoot.
Yeah, he got bionic lawn mowing, bionic window cleaning, bionic soaring, bionic canoeing, yes. Wheelchair racing, pillow fighting,
bionic kissing.
That yes. is not the. I don't think he had bionic lips.
Okay. So yeah.
So in the series, he was
a $1 million man.
He was something of a special agent. So vigilante, I think, might be fitting.
Yep, that's what I. Mm-hmm. That's what.
Okay, so on the vigilante sheet, you will notice here that the first thing you do is your stats break down to might, hustle, smooth, brains, and soul. Might is your physical prowess, how strong you are, how much damage you can take, etc. Hustle is your agility, your speed. Smooth is your charisma, your comeliness. Brains is your intelligence. Soul is that something extra that is your willpower, your spirituality, your luck even. The first thing you do is pick out where you're going to assign your numbers. And you get a couple of different ways that you can spend them. Let's see. I'm not sure this sheet actually tells
you. No, this sheet does not have the breakdown.
The breakdowns. Okay, let me open up my main book here.
I wonder if it's on the... Nope, it's not on the story either.
Yeah. This is where I much prefer to have a physical book than a PDF, but this will do. Let's see. And now there's the lull while book looking is taking place.
Do, 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 do. So is there any limit on characters, or can we literally play anything set in the 70s?
Pretty much provided, anything, yeah.
Provided you can build it via this sort of thing. I mean, yeah. It's not going to give you...
I've just found Ultra. Here's the top 50 shows of the 70s. Yeah. Them. Oh, number 5, Doctor Who.
Yeah, that's actually Doctor Who is possible to build. He would be a visitor, an alien. Just to consider that you're basically, in this system, starting off especially, if you wanted to build Superman, the 1970s version, he's still not going to be any stronger than, say, Shaft. Because, you know, Shaft is super bad.
You just can't
say Shaft. You have to say, ooh, Shaft.
I will say right after Doctor Who, it's the Dukes of Hazzard and Starsky and Hutch.
Yes.
Well, there you go.
As they should be. So I'm going to play one of the three.
I bet there isn't a lot of British TV shows on there. So I was thinking of doing the Sweeney as well, which...
Mm. Like, according to this, it is Guns from top to bottom in terms of ratings. It was Gunsmoke, Bonanza, Hawaii Five-O, Mission Impossible, Doctor Who, Dukes of Hazzard, Starsky and Hutch, Tom and Jerry, then Wonder Woman.
Somebody play Tom. That'll be awesome.
Yes. Just get beat up all the time. Very useful.
Okay. The way you build attributes, there are sets that you can take. You can take ones across the board. They call that ready for anything. You can do when all else fails, which is a 2, a 1, a 1, a 0, and a 0. You can assign them however you wish there. The third option is a 2, 3 ones, and a negative 1. The next one is 2 twos, 2 zeros, and a negative 1. And the last is 2 twos, a 1, and 2 negative 1s. And I'll put that in the chat box for a reference here.
Well, let's take something with a negative 1, because I think he's going to have negative 1 soul, because he's part machine.
We're not playing with shower rules. Come on.
No, I know, but hey, why not?
Hey, you know.
So what was it? 2 and then...
There we are.
In there.
So all 1s, 2, 1, 1, 0, 0, 2, 1, 1, negative 1. 2200 negative 1 221 negative 1 negative 1
1 doesn't quite add up.
No, they don't. It's like if you look at the first one, it's 5 points, the next one is 4 points.
In the third one there's only 4.
Oh, am I missing a digit? Okay, yeah, so 1 2 3 4 is 22. Let's see, 111 2110 21. It should be 3 ones in there.
And what's with the little tick box and the descriptor below them?
That's for when you are inflicted with some sort of horrible status. Yeah. Like, hey, when you get hustled. And that's just basically, hey, you've got a negative 1 to the roll.
When you're taking more than 4 points of damage, instead of taking that damage, which might kill you, take you out, etc., you can choose instead to take a condition instead of taking further damage.
All right, well, I'm going to go with 2, 1, 1, 1, minus 1. Okay. Minus 1 to soul and 2 to might, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so what you get as a vigilante, and this is something they talk about in the rules that you can flex around a little bit to fit your concept. So the basic is it's all in the reflexes. When you use a gun to solve a problem or overcome an obstacle, roll with something extra. In this case, you could say instead of gun, you can substitute the word your bionics.
Cool.
And the next is you choose 2 of the following list. Out for blood. When a vigilante is in combat, they're not messing around. When you single out a target for elimination and shoot them, you do +1 harm. The second one is feeling lucky punk. When you successfully get in someone's face, you've managed to scare the hell out of them for good. Roll with something extra against them permanently. Something extra means you roll 3d6, dropping the lowest die. Is what rolling with something extra means. Eagle Eye, when you take some time to study and observe your target, roll plus brains. Gives you a little bit of things that happens there. I think Vigilantes looks like
it was more gun.
Yeah, it's gun based. So you could just substitute like melee instead of shooting. It would be just fine. So out of that list, you choose 2 of those things.
Simple enough. I pick Where is it? Eagle Eye, representing Bionic Eye, why not? And I'll take Feeling Lucky Punk, I guess, because, hey, that would be fun to say.
Okay. And then we go further down for your story. Since you are by Bionic Man, you are X-Tech. It's all about the X-Tech. In this game, X-Tech is any of the super sciences that really weren't feasible during the time, which you saw on the shows quite often. In this case, bionics. And it has a list there, which you get to choose one of, which you will probably choose bionics.
Yep. Sounds likely.
Under bionics, though, you need to choose...
extendable limbs, bionic muscles, bionic eye, healing factor, or metal teeth. Yeah, there's a difference to pick there. So a different bionic person could have different bionic stuff going on.
And then as you level up, you can choose to get this more than once. And so Steve Austin can have both the bionic muscles and the bionic eye. So right now you've only got the muscles or the eye or however you want to do it. You haven't got the upgrades yet.
So you're saying he's the $500,000 man, right?
Yeah. 400,000 and some change man right now. Yeah.
But with a little bit of gumption and some hard work.
So instead of being funded by the spy agency or the CIA, you're funded by like the tax office or something.
Holy hell, if he's funded by the tax office.
And yeah, I'm going with bionic muscles for now.
Okay. And the other thing you get from the X-Tech background is X-Tech Expert. When you're working with X-Tech, you get to roll with something extra. So like if you're trying to repair X-Tech, figure it out, etc. I am getting an echo through someone.
I think it's gone now. So there we go.
All right. The next thing is choose your buzz, which is... What is it that you are trying to achieve out of your action-oriented life? It could be adventure, cold hard cash, the crown, escape, fame and glory, honor, justice, love or lust, payback, peace of mind, redemption, respect, thrills, the truth, vindication. They give you several there that you can choose from. The buzz is important because this is how your character gains experience. After the end of every session, if you can show that you have been forwarding the cause of your buzz, you get a point of experience for doing so. You also get experience for failing to do things.
Yeah. Well, Steve Austin was a test pilot before. Yep. So... there wasn't anything for thrill-seeking there, or, I don't know, furthering, I guess, respect, I guess, is the closest I could say for that.
Or justice. He was, always bringing...
Oh, afterwards he joined the... Yeah, justice is better. If he was a Air Force pilot protecting America. Woo, America! Etc. So, yeah, justice. And now I have Steve Austin.
Mm-hmm. So. There's a couple of other things we'll do after people have all their characters. One is the hooks, yep. Which is how you interact with at least one other person in the party, which will also kind of give you experience. The other thing, the last part here, is your stuff, your thing, they say. So you picked one thing. It can be they give you a list here of like having an animal companion, having a sweet ride. In your case, you might want aptitude, which is a particular skill or area of expertise that you're better at than normal. Like, so he's a pilot. You might want to say, have aptitude in flying. You could have an assistant, like a faithful butler. I guess you could actually play the Green Hornet and you could have your assistant that way. You could have a business, a dive bar, a towing service, a restaurant, something like that. Connections, having actual credentials, so being a member of the police force, FBI, etc. You can have a lab or a workshop. You can have fame. You can have a sidekick, a signature weapon, You could be a skilled doctor, lawyer, technician, mechanic, etc., having one on call. You can have a special instrument if you are a rocker. You can have wealth. So you get to pick one of those things.
Well, purely for the laughs, I'm tempted to pick pets so that I can have a pet rock called Rocky.
I will fuck I will stab you in the chest with my claws of steel.
Really? Why would you hate that? No, so I will go with better than the average bear or whatever it was called. We're better at piloting than.
Ah, yes. Taking aptitude as a pilot. Yep. You're able to add +2 to your roll of the attribute that is being checked when this is the case.
Well, if we ever get into a plane, I'll make sure I am not the one driving. Or piloting, even. Can't even get the right words.
The rest of it is picking equipment and gear. I'm just going to hand wave that. You can have anything that makes sense at the time on you. I don't believe Steve Austin usually ran around in a flak jacket, but maybe he ran around in a leather jacket or something like that, which will give you a little bit of armor. Anything that makes sense, you can just go ahead and have.
I thought Steve Austin ran around in a running jacket.
Yeah, that's right. He had the jumpsuit, the tracksuit.
That's what I'm going with.
But, you know, if you happen to have, you know, any common thing that you want to have on you is fine. No big deal. You do actually get a stipend for each of your different roles to buy equipment with. But for this, you know, we'll hand wave it and say if it makes sense for you to have, you can have. And that's your character for now. We'll do the hooks after people have other characters. And we will go to Nick, who also came to the table with a character concept in mind.
What? Yes. Yes, I do. His name will be Bruce. Bruce Lee.
All right. So, we're going to go with tough guy for Bruce Lee?
Sure, why not? And I will go with tougher than leather, except for the incidental scratches that the bad guys will inflict on me. Man, I'd be so tough. And then one at a time or all at once, because, you know, it's not a Bruce Lee film without him beating the living hell out of 50 people or so.
And note, as a tough guy, you get to add +1 to your might after you've assigned your numbers. You get to add an additional +1 to your might ability.
And
for your story, Kung Fu, I would expect.
Kung Fu. I have been approached by the Honorable Master and told that one of the members of our dojo, I'm sorry, of our Shaolong Temple has become a drug dealer, dun dun dun, and to defend the honor of the Shaolin Temple, I must go and beat the holy hell out of him and show him the way of justice via punching his kidneys in. So, yeah, that's what I'm all about.
All right.
I'm here to stop the bad guys.
So that's your buzz. Your background is Kung Fu.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, you get Way of the Fist. You utilize a kung fu technique instead of brute force. You may roll plus hustle instead of plus might. Keep that into consideration when you put in your stats. And then you get to choose one of the list.
I'm going to go with my hands are deadly weapons. Dragon's fist technique. Your basic unarmed attacks damage is one harm.
What?
Sounds
I have
good.
To say wah after I hit someone in the face, though.
And your thing?
Things?
Yeah.
It
could be, once again, it can be, there's a list of stuff there for your thing. It could be gear. It could be a special signature weapon. An aptitude, a particular skill you're good at.
Nunchucks.
Nunchucks?
All right. I have nunchucks and hammer space, so... as is appropriate, nunchucks appear in my hands.
So it's a signature weapon. So even if it's destroyed in the show, it will always come back next episode And you can give it a trait. To be simple, the trait could be something like, does an additional plus one harm? You could do that. You can say, like, does an extra plus one armor, so you can use it defensively. Either one of those.
No. No, I have to have cosmetic damage. I look more badass.
There you go.
So plus one arm. And right. Also, I have a special thing. Whenever I get in combat, my shirt falls off for some inexplicable reason. I got no idea why that works, but it has to happen. Bruce Lee film I've seen.
I believe it's first cosmetic damage, then you just rip it off because you don't like imperfect shirts.
That's actually, I forget who can do that, but one of the things is you get an extra level of damage, so you have to take two damage before you're bruised, so that first level of damage will be, it removed your shirt.
Yep. I wish I could take that, but sadly. All right, anyways.
All right, so far we have Steve Austin, the $500,000 man, and Bruce Lee, that may be L-E-E, that might be L-E-I. We're not sure just yet.
L-I-U.
Yes, there you go. Sharon, do you have a concept or a character yet?
Yeah, I do. I was going to go with probably Sabrina Duncan from Charlie's Angels.
Okay. What do you want to do for a role? She could be a couple of different things in there.
I was thinking either Honey Pot or Sleuth, and I'm actually sort of going with Sleuth.
Okay. Going with Sleuth then.
Yeah. So that gives me not the average bear.
And you get plus one to your brains after you set your scores. You can add an extra plus one to brains.
Crime scene investigation and
one other thing.
Yeah. Master of disguise.
Okay, sounds good. And your story. What was she? I forget which angel she was. I know one of them was an ex-con. I don't know if it's or not.
Actually, the first Sabrina Duncan was an ex-cop.
Ah, there we go. They do have an ex-cop. A former badge. So with a former badge, you get friends on the force. So you still have some contacts there.
Okay.
And you can choose one extra thing from that list.
I think, so now if I, from plus one to plus two, I'm either going for, I'm thinking either promotion or packing heat.
Both very good.
Yeah.
Well, if you take promotion, you can always take a gun as your extra thing.
Yeah, I think I'm going to take promotion.
Okay. And so that takes one of your abilities that you've assigned as a one. It will increase it to a two.
Okay.
And as your buzz, what is it that she is out to do?
Okay. Buzz.
Justice might be a good one for her.
Yeah, buzz be justice. That's good. Okay. And what's the next thing I have to pick?
Your thing, which could be a special skill. It could be a weapon, so you can choose a gun here if you wanted to. Could be an animal companion, an assistant, owning a business, having more connections, having credentials. So you could actually have a professional license of some kind, like a private investigator, etc.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds.
Have a gun, you don't have to have it as a thing. You can just simply have a gun. The difference is if it is your thing, it can't ever be destroyed. It comes back. It's a signature weapon. So like you may run out of bullets, it might get broken, but next episode it comes back. Now, if you just simply have a gun, those rules don't apply. They can be taken, etc.
Okay, well, my thing probably be either credentials or a really good makeup kit. I think I might have to go with the really good makeup kit. How does that one sound for you?
Yeah, that sounds fine.
Yep. Okay. All right, and so that should be it, huh?
Yeah, that's all. We got your buds, we got your thing. We're good there. Steven, have you got your idea together?
I'm playing a misplaced cowboy. I'm going to go with tough guy.
Tough guy, all right.
I've chosen Tougher Than Leather and Ain't Got Time to Bleed.
All right. And also, you also get a +1 to your might after you've already assigned all your attributes.
Yep, what bringing is your... my might to 3.
What is your story?
Well, I've just been a lazy cowpoke moping along, and gosh darn, I get drawn up into adventure all the time. Moved to the big city where this shindig is happening.
All right. Well, for a story, then, you could just be one bad mother.
I have thought about it. Mm-hmm.
Or humble beginnings would work, maybe?
Well, war vet, actually.
War vet, okay. So you were in the war.
Just because I want to pick the move Crazy Brave. When you lead the charge into combat, those you lead can add your plus soul bonus to their next action. I'm going to be a reckless cowboy. Though, I suppose, let me see what's one bad mother... power to the people, doesn't like you, blah, 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 drink you on the table, heard you were dead, it's not a promise. Yeah, I'm not smooth enough to play one bad mother.
All right. Warbit, that would probably be the Vietnam War, which Nixon has successfully gotten us out of at this point.
Yeah, I was just a stripling of a lad when I got sent over. But, you know, now I'm back. Back at the farm, but I got an itch that, you know, cattle ranch I just can't scratch until I had to deal with those rustlers that were stealing my cattle. They ain't around no more, so I want to go out and look for more of that.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough. Okay, and what is your thing?
Adventure!
Well, that's your buzz. Okay, so yeah, your buzz is adventure. Your thing is that something extra you have. Your could be gear, could be a companion.
I got a horse.
You can have a horse. An animal companion. You can do that.
Oh.
I mean, that seems a...
You can have a sweet ride. You can have a nice pickup truck.
Your horse could be your sweet ride.
Yes, it could.
I'm not discounting the horse. It just seems kind of ridiculous.
Looking forward to piloting us all to our destination with the horse.
It's not going to be any more ridiculous than anyone else.
No. You're a cowboy on a steel horse you ride.
Yeah, there you go.
There we go. On a steel horse.
You can have a motorcycle, a sweet ride.
Yeah. Was okay. Knight Rider around?
Yeah. He's 80s.
He was 80s.
Sorry, when I say Knight Rider, I mean Ghost Rider.
Oh.
Ghost Rider, yes.
You want a motorcycle? We get you a sweet ride there.
I was also thinking of a lasso.
Well, it could be a signature weapon, certainly.
But let's go with my sweet ride on a steel horse I ride.
You can still have a lasso. Woman?
It just won't be a signature weapon.
Won't be Wonder Woman. That's too bad.
All right. Sounds good. And finally, Joshua, what are we going with?
I think I'm going with Doctor Who.
All right. You're going with the Doctor.
Yes. Specifically,
77. This is Tom Baker era, isn't it?
Yes, I believe it is. Particularly because
Doctor.
I noticed there is the option I'm certain I'm going with X-Tech because it wouldn't work otherwise, but
There's another one. I will pull it up here while you fill out your first part.
I'm going with the good old boy because with Hot Wheels, the amount of stuff I assume my sweet ride is the TARDIS. I love the idea that I could fly the TARDIS into someone to get a bonus to attack them.
So we moved from Tom Baker to David Tennant.
Actually, hold on. There is another one that you could do here in the follow-on book. There is the, let's see, it's a specialty. It's a new story. So you can have the same role. You could have the good old boy role, but they also now have the new story. It's all about being the visitor. You are an alien, essentially.
That would make sense. Yes.
Yes. So with being an alien or being a visitor, you might look like one, but you're not a human being. It's not of this world. You get that. And then you can choose two positive traits. Amphibious, regeneration, photosynthesis.
That's obvious.
Okay, regeneration. Okay. With a rest, a minor body part like a finger or ear can grow back in less than a week. A major body part like an arm or your liver may take a whole month. So that's regeneration. That's one of the two. The other ones are photosynthesis, electric field, bioluminescence, suspended animation, natural weapons. Any of those float your boat there?
What was suspended animation?
You can enter a deep sleep state, slowing down your metabolism to the point of appearing dead. While in this state, you need no food or water, almost no air to survive. You can exit this state at a predetermined time or be reacting to a predetermined trigger.
Yep, he's done that. I'll take that.
I was going to say that is something that the doctor did.
Didn't yes.
And then you have to choose a negative trait. Dependency. You require to consume something. Vulnerability, conspicuous, you have a physical trait that marks you as being non-human, or hunted.
I have an incredibly long scarf. hunted, I suppose, would be the most interesting of those.
Sure. And then later on, as the character advances, you can learn other tricks, like being able to mind meld, mind tricks, and things like that. But that
yep, he's done those.
Experience.
Do you want me to specify who he's hunted by, or is that up to you?
No, it can be up to you. You can bring that into effect when you wish. You don't have to specify it now. Okay. And you went with, what did you say, good old boy?
Yes, because I get sweet
right.
ride.
Well, yes, your free sweet ride then is the TARDIS, right?
Yes.
You still get a thing, though, which could be your sonic screwdriver.
Absolutely, sonic screwdriver.
And what is the last thing here? Your buzz.
Adventure!
The doctor's all about the adventure, all right?
Yes.
All right. Now that everybody's got a character, the last thing is the thing that links people together here.
Could I just ask?
Mm-hmm.
In Sweet Ride, there's power and traits. Do I have to select something for those?
We can do it in story. That's fine.
Sure.
Basically, it's like it could have some armor. It could have a little bit more strength. It could have some speed. We can make that go as we need.
Okay, sure.
All right. So the last thing we do is make links, our hooks between characters. Everybody just choose another character. And
I choose the doctor. I'm his companion.
All right. That's simple.
Do you have the doctor's companion?
can it alternate between an actual horse and a motorcycle?
You can have more than one. Yeah. I mean, you pick the one that is your special thing. And then the other one can just be like, for instance, your horse can be your special thing. So that'll make sure it never gets blown up and doesn't come back. And then you can simply have a motorcycle that you drive around on if you want.
I have a horse and the motorcycle is what I drive around on.
A horse that's immune to exploding. What was
right,
your character's name
again? So there we have a hook. You are the doctor's companion. So you write that down somewhere.
Just call me Cowboy.
Cowboy, okay.
You're doctor, I'm cowboy.
Anyone else?
We had the same buzz, after all.
Uh-huh.
Oh, now we have cowboys and aliens. Great.
Yes. We've traveled through time and space and have, for some reason, decided to remain in the 70s.
That was a bad decision.
So, doesn't the doctor need to pick somebody as well?
Yes, the doctor still needs to have a hook with someone else.
I'm picking cowboy.
You need somebody else, I think.
Oh, I have to pick someone else.
Yes. I don't know, actually.
It doesn't have to be someone else. It can still be the cowboy if you want, but it doesn't have to be. So you can have a hook with someone else if
pick
you
the
want.
Cowboy! All these other schlubs! I don't know why they're attacking along!
So yes, you can pick any other character, including the cowboy, that has a hook with you. You don't have to share the same hook just because someone should...
Is there a benefit to having the same hook?
No. It's just a way to make experience at the end. If you have resolved a hook, or the hook has come into play, you can get an experience point for it.
Okay, in that case, I will take the cowboy as the hook.
Sure.
I could see that coming into play more often than anyone else, frankly.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see.
All right, anyone else have an idea for a hook?
No.
No.
The $500,000 man and some change recruited me. It told me that was the one who brought me in from the cold. I was just out there randomly beating the hell out of mooks, and the $500,000 man was like, "Hey, come join us." It's like, does it get me to my goal? He's like, sure, why not? He's like, all right.
Come join the OSI. We've got all kinds of resources to help you find your person you're looking for, rather than just randomly beating up people.
That's I mean, it hasn't worked so far, so therefore, I'm going to abandon this. Yes!
All right.
$100,000 man, please don't slap my hand that hard. You have my
Okay, yeah. That sounds like a good hook. And how about Steve Austin? Have you thought of a hook with another character?
No, not immediately.
All right, Sharon, how about you? Got a hook with another character?
I was thinking either a hook with Cowboy or with the Cowboy or Mr. Lee. Let's see. Maybe I suspect them in some sort of murder, and I'm trying to get close to them to find out if they actually did it.
But Mr. Lee might be very useful.
Hello. I've murdered a lot of people on my way here. I mean, what?
Sure, that works out.
I roll like that big dog.
All right.
Do we all want to just put our names in chat so we have a reference?
Yeah, that's fine. Go ahead.
I mean, we have the Doctor, a cowboy, Bruce Lee, Steve Austin. This is not difficult.
Yeah, I'm an idiot. I mean, I work for the OSI, which is the Office of Scientific Intelligence.
Ah.
That's the Doctor.
Yes.
So the Doctor obviously helped rebuilding me, making me better.
There you go.
Maybe spare parts from a Cyberman, I don't know.
You might have a plunger attached to you somewhere.
Parts from a Dalek. There you go. Sounds good. All right, and so how you're all brought together is that occasionally a mysterious man who simply refers to himself as M leaves messages telling you that in a certain time and in a certain location that something will happen that will prove devastating and change things all around for the worst. Sometimes you have followed his heed, sometimes you have not. The times you have not, events have transpired that were indeed bad for all. The last war, for instance.
Oh, Mao Zedong took over China? And all my friends and family are starving to death?
Yes, we will use Catch Your Hair since we are simply going to be rolling D6s.
What's the password?
We will make the password FUNK!
Really? Not Spirit 77? Damn, I guessed incorrectly. All right.
Is it funk exclamation mark?
No.
Ah.
Has somebody been rolling on there already? Just that there are dice there.
Apparently, yeah.
Crash somebody else. Right. Don't want to crash somebody
else. Oh, that's someone else's then. Yes. Okay, let's try Spirit of 77.
Of 77.
Yeah, Spirit of 77.
Woo!
No spaces?
No, yeah, spaces. Yeah. I've just added a couple of labels. There's the Doctor. Here's the GM. All right, there we go. Someone else is in there. Clearly, that worked. Okay, and before we get started, let me go and fill up my water. I'll be right back, guys.
Dun, dun, dun. Yep.
Now pause for intermission. Roll the cigarette commercials.
I wonder if I actually did murder that person that Sabrina is looking for.
You can find out on this exciting
Remind me what Sabrina's concept is.
Charlie's Angels.
Ah.
Even if you haven't seen the 70s, you must have seen the films in the 2000s.
Yep. And Bruce Lee is like the most brutal martial artist who ever lived. Like,
okay.
His stuff is pretty.
He beat Chuck Norris.
Yeah, and beat the shit out of him. Like, Bruce Lee does not hesitate to murder a bitch, like, at all.
Would it be better if I am looking for somebody that I think you may have murdered, or I know the person is dead and I think you did it?
I mean, whatever you want to go with, I probably did murder them. There is a significant possibility that amongst all the books I have murdered, they were one of them.
You're a mook murdering monster, aren't you?
Yeah, I am.
Nobody investigates the murder of mooks. Good God.
It would be somebody who might have been mistaken for a mook and really wasn't. Just wrong place, wrong time, knowing the wrong people.
Look, he had to be shirtless. I mean, I don't murder people who have shirts on.
Yeah, you do.
I mean, you know, I count them as not having the shirt after I murder them. I take their shirt off.
That's a really weird serial killer motif. After you kill them, you steal their shirts.
I don't steal their shirts, I just take them off.
And just leave them next to them.
Yeah, I mean, not a thief.
I thought they were going to call you the Chinese laundry.
Humor.
It's a thing. It is a thing.
It is a thing.
It's a thing. I have no idea what you Yanks be talking about.
My God.
I don't think all of us are Yankees for a start.
I'm not a Yankee.
No. I'm not a Yankee.
I'm a Yankee.
Actually, out of all of us here, I think only Sharon technically counts as a Yankee. Within the United States, it gets a little more specific about who is and isn't a Yankee. Those over the pond, everybody's a Yankee from over here.
Yep.
You're all Americans.
No, I'm not American. I'm not American. I'm a blue stater.
American. America.
Yeah.
Dirk the jihad.
I'm an American, but I'm not American.
America. America. Cool. Alright, so there's a thing.
Yeah.
Well, that was the world's fastest, quickest, and easiest character generation.
Absolutely.
I don't know, I agonize over these simple decisions. What do I choose for my stats?
I think it was slightly more complex, just in that you had to pick two things rather than one with regular sort of Apocalypse World stuff. But hey.
We want to choose dice colors.
Done already, man. If you're not looking at the right place, you're not seeing the colors.
I just see purple and red.
Well, at least two. Yeah.
I'll take green.
That's not red, by the way.
What is that?
It's one of... Let's see,
one of your random RGB codes that looks very red?
Yep, it is. That's red 3, apparently, according to the one which I picked. I tried to find the one which was closest to his tracksuit color. I can't do white piping, I'm afraid, on the dice, so you just have to live with that.
So, how's everyone doing?
All right, okay. I am back. Is everyone else here?
Welcome back.
Welcome back, yes.
Yay!
Allergy is kicking my butt.
I assume the cash shine is our $500,000 man.
Six whole dollars. And if you get a laugh out of this, you should look at the link that I put up in the thread under $6 million man, because it goes to the 6 million rupee man, which is like a couple of hundred thousand.
Yes.
Pounds, and that's it.
Those listening at home have to visit the website.
There we go. Yes. Don't join our forums.
This way. Oh, okay.
Mm. All right, so I'm going to be running an adventure. I loosely say adventure because one of the things they say in this game is how you play is essentially it emerges from what you play. So the as many of the Apocalypse World role-playing games are, there is no really hard set adventure. There's kind of a very loose structure, and everything kind of emerges from what people do in play. So, as we start, all of you have received a mysterious phone call, message, or in some way have been notified by the mysterious figure known as M, telling you that another one of these junctions in time is about to happen, where something bad is going to transpire. And he never tells you exactly what the bad thing is. You're expected just to show up and do what you can. In this case, he tells you the location of a local science fair is the next spot where something very, very bad and earth-shattering may happen. And to save time, everyone will have arrived on location, we'll say, in your various means of transport. You have ran into each other on previous missions from M. So there you go. You know each other by sight. Let's see here.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, Bruce. Around, good to see you again.
Since I recognize everybody but Bruce, because Bruce has his shirt on at the moment. So
I have a face. I don't just have rippling muscles.
Well, I understand. I also have a face. I just don't recognize you with your shirt on. Just so different.
Are you sure that barman has a face? I assumed he just had another fist hidden behind there.
The problem is he's not used to wearing a shirt. He doesn't know how to wear it properly.
It's so all it's backwards, sort of
upside
isn't it?
Down covering his face.
Look, I'm Bruce motherfucking Lee. No, you're wrong. I look stunning, even with a shirt on. I just look twice as stunning with my shirt off.
So one of the other things that they recommend doing with all games is having a soundtrack going on. And were I more together today, I would have piped in some fat tunes for you guys. But they suggest the opening theme of this adventure is Science Has Gone Too Far by The Dictators. I don't know this tune myself, so I will throw it up in the show links and we can listen to it after the fact. So, giving you the setup, there's a big banner stretched across the front of the high school today that there today is the rather spirited event. There's actually two events going on, apparently. The St. Bernardine's Academy Science Fair is holding its final round of competition for its promising students in the field of science. And in Exhibition Hall B, the museum is debuting a rare artifact, a large stone sarcophagus that was found underneath the city's water reserve. They have not yet breached the coffin.
Well, do I recognize the tune in the background as Science Has Gone Too Far as I'm bopping my head?
Probably so. One thing they suggested, which is a really cool idea, is that every character have theme music. And so you put music in a like a shuffle. And if someone's theme music comes on while they happen to be doing something, it gives them an edge.
I like this game.
Yeah, it is pretty fun. But unfortunately, I'm not set up to do such a thing for our game today. Not to mention that since we're podcasting it, I would also like to not be given cease and desist orders.
Mm-hmm. Do we, as an exercise, just want to pick some theme music offhand?
Nah.
You apparently have something in mind.
Free theme music.
Yeah. Don't worry. I'm just listening to music in the background. Yeah. So, Steve.
Yes?
Mr. Austin.
Are you just Cowboy?
Yeah, I'm just Cowboy.
You have a name as well? God.
Player does.
You, Mr. Austin, you are the man who knows things. Why has M summoned us here to this place?
I probably know as much as you do. Although, given that this is a science fair, I suppose the Office of Science Intelligence might have had more information on this place already.
Perhaps we can use a payphone.
Yes.
And call your masters. Oh, look, there is one. It is following the man. He is weird. Perhaps we can use that payphone.
It doesn't look like any American payphone I know.
Yes, that and the fact that it is hovering behind him are weird things. I look suspiciously at this man.
You've already met him.
That doesn't prevent me from being suspicious that he has a payphone behind him.
You don't need to be suspicious of me, you know.
You have a payphone behind you.
I don't know, Doctor.
I open the door of the phone. Would you like to call your people?
Oh, yes. I have not spoken to my mother in quite some time. I shall call China.
I was talking to Austin.
Oh.
Appreciate this down.
This makes me sad inside.
You can call your mother when the world is possibly not about to explode.
Well, the world has not yet exploded to this point. I do not believe it shall because of a science fair.
Very dangerous places, science fairs.
I don't trust these scientists in training. They're always cooking stuff up, like that bomb that we always have to worry about. Ain't that right, Doctor?
Oh, which one?
Is he an existential horror beyond our time and space? Cowboy.
Don't know what you're talking about.
Mostly bombs, actually. Mostly bombs.
Actually, these budding young scientists are the future of our great country. We should give them a lot of support.
I snort and hock a loogie. I don't think any of these kids worked a day in their life.
Probably not, except for their science projects.
Don't trust no non-working man. Spit again.
So, Sabrina, what memories is the high school science fair bringing back to you?
Oh, you know, the prizes, the trophies, everyone was really surprised when I went to the police academy. Let's see, and I always used to lose out to this one girl. Whenever she entered, I always lost, but if she wasn't entering, I'd win. That would be great.
All right, so that's running through your head as you guys are standing outside of the building. It seems to be a pretty busy day. There are lots of cars parked around outside. Looks like it is just getting started, as people are still milling around. It doesn't look like any announcements have been made yet.
Steve, will you make your phone
call? Well, yeah, I was going into the TARDIS to make the call to OSRA, because Oscar, see if they have any more information on what's going on at here. Just general information.
Sure. yes, the OSI being well plugged into the heart of high school science projects. sorry, I seem to be losing all my windows here.
Mind?
I've got too many open.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what it is. Hold on for just a second, guys.
So, Steve, why have we ended up here with these people? What have we done in our past life to deserve this?
So, Steve, what he tells is that... Well, the student body there averages about 11 years old, some of the smartest students in the city are going to this high school, and we have dossiers on all of these young minds.
Oh, 11-year-olds here.
Yes.
Doing science, and Wow. And there was a, sorry, you said there was a sarcophagus as well, but, right?
Yes, it is another exhibit going on in the same building. It is a stone sarcophagus. It was found when they were doing sewer works, of all things.
Wow. This isn't the high school. This is just...
No, this is the high school building. It's just one of these buildings that have like an auditorium-sized area. And so they're running two exhibitions today, the Science Fair Project and the opening of the sarcophagi.
Thanks, Oscar, I guess.
Oh, well, if you want any specifics, as I said.
Is there anybody in particular we've got our eye on there? Somebody, an 11-year-old who's coming up with cold fusion or something?
Well, we've got some very interesting experiments going on today. He sounds like he's shuffling some papers around. He pulls out, he's like, well, I've got a brochure here, and we've got some of these kids flagged in particular here. Let's see. There's a Wesley Spiegelman. He's probably the smartest kid in the class. He's extremely awkward and shy, though. You'll note him by his thick Coke bottle glasses. He's probably going to be the first place winner this year. There's Gary Levine, friendly and outgoing. Smart girl. We don't know how her project will do. Hollis Wells. He seems to be a Boy Scout, a very clean individual here. We have our eyes on him. It's always the clean ones, you know, Steve. They're always the ones that go bad. Well, you know, present company excluded, of course. Dean Tomasino, above average student, makes good grades, also an athlete. He's got some promising entry this year. And Lisa Bartle, you may know her from a television show, P.T. Swizzlestick, something of a prodigy and a budding actress, also has an entry this year. We've got dossiers on all these children. We expect big things from them, or horrible, horrible things that we'll need to stop in the future.
Isn't that always the way with kids?
Ah. There's a slight pause in the background. Yes.
Okay, well, thanks for the information, Oscar. I'll pass this along to everybody else. Yeah, I was going to say, I assume they heard it, but then I was thinking, speakerphones don't exist, so maybe not.
Speakerphones exist.
Even aboard the TARDIS.
Ooh,
That is true. We don't have a speakerphone. In fact, the phone doesn't let you go on the inside. You have to stand outside to use it.
Even though it's not hooked up.
Absolutely.
Ooh.
It's only hooked up to the outside.
Steve, this information. Perhaps something awful is going to happen here. Perhaps we should attend this science fair. Perhaps we should.
Did you not read the message which brought us here?
What? Horrible things happening.
We don't know.
Perhaps one of these science fairs experiments shall go horribly wrong.
Yep, right. Well, anyway, I've been saddling up my horse while all this has been going on. I mount up and ride out of the TARDIS. Look around from my high perch.
People look at the man and the horse suddenly running out of a phone book. Or a phone booth.
Phone book just, could be even more expressive.
Phone book. Anyway, you know, just moseying along. Good.
We
amble over towards the sarcophagi and Egyptian from underneath the sewers exhibit.
All right. So you
was it? I look at signs. Was it like this town sewer or like an Egyptian sewer?
Okay. Well, you'll have to go into the building to find that out for sure. And are you going to dismount before doing so?
Nope.
Okay. Well, first of all, your horse doesn't fit through the doors.
Discrimination.
There are security guards on the premises who come out and say, who are quite not sure what to do. They scratch their heads, look at each other for a moment. One of them goes to the radio. One of them approaches you and says, can I help you, sir?
I don't see your hitching post.
The parking lot's over there.
Son, this is a horse. I don't know if you got to learn in any of those fancy schools of yours, but you see,
you got a permit horses... for this horse?
Of course I do. I just stare him down.
Okay.
From up on the horse.
All right. Well, this is a dice worthy event, as the repercussions could be you being arrested. So we will go to let's see here. Let me get my basic moves out.
I'm staring them down.
So that sounds like a get in their face to me when you want someone to act through a threat of violence or intimidation. Does that seem to fit?
Yes.
All right. So you're going to roll plus might, which means you roll 2d6 and you add your might to the roll.
2d6 plus 3. Let's go. Rolling. Oh, 5 plus 3, 8.
An 8. All right. On a 7 to 9, you can choose one, and then I can choose one. So one of the things you can choose is, they give you what you want. They don't try to deceive you. You deal them one harm. They flee or otherwise get out of the way. They offer you an alternative. You avoid any repercussions. They don't force you to carry out your threat. So you get to choose one of those. And actually, I can share this document too. Give me a second here. This is a
cool system there.
I suppose I avoid any repercussions.
Okay, well, which means that you won't get what you want, though. just so you know, because you can choose one of those things, meaning the other things could potentially happen. Give me just a minute here. Let me share this so that we can all see the basic moves list.
Yeah, this is the basic Apocalypse World system. You roll 2d6, you add the stat, and then you're looking for 7 or better. 7 or better, 7 to 9 is a partial success. 10 or better is you succeed at exactly what you were trying to do. So in this instance, you can either succeed with some consequences, or you can fail, but no repercussions. That's what Bert was basically explaining there.
Yeah, well, there's a list of things that you can choose, and then he chooses one, and I choose one. So let me post this here so that we can all reference the same sheet, because they, while they're all based on the same engine, they do have some variances between them.
All the moves are named different things for a start, just to fit with the style of the stuff, and yeah, we've all got different bits and pieces going.
I think I might choose. They offer me an alternative then.
Okay. There. That is a set of reference sheets. Okay, so you want to choose they offer you an alternative, and I will choose to... Okay, we'll give it. Okay, so the alternative. So they say, well, sir, barring the licensure issue, you can hit your horses right there in the parking lot. You notice the metered spaces? I don't see there's any problem that you can not use that right there as a hitching post. I'm afraid, due to public code ordinances, though, that the horse can't enter the building.
That seems discriminatory, son.
It's not a
but
human, sir.
But them's the law, them's the law. Mosey over to the meter, and, you know, hitch up the horse. Pat it. Pat, pat.
It nudges you to show you the little sign that says deposit a nickel.
damn. Deposit a, you know, quarter or something, smallest I got. Right, and there's that. Accomplished, and I go back to the entrance way.
All right. So you go into the building, and they've got quite a setup here. Apparently, the Museum of Natural History is sponsoring a large stone sarcophagus that was mentioned. It was found underneath the city's water reserve as they were doing some excavation. But they've also placed here several other exhibits for people to look at as well.
As the opening of a stone box may not be all that thrilling, they have set up a few displays here. There is a display of saber-toothed tigers. It looks like a pack of them that have been stuffed and mounted. There are, apparently someone has given them little name placards underneath each of the saber-toothed tigers. There is also a full-size rendition done of a Tyrannosaurus Rex skeleton that has the placard stating its name is Rosie.
Did anybody choose to follow me around?
Yeah, okay. The doctor apparently has followed you in.
Would this count as leading the charge?
No.
Darn. All right.
For glory to the science.
To the science. Doctor, I'm not an educated man. That's one of my charming points that you haul me around for. Get me some culture and learning in my noggin. But, correct me if I'm wrong, but aren't these Egyptian sarcophagi supposed to be from Egypt?
Yes, I would think so. Where do I think they're from?
Yeah, as you guys are pondering this, you also notice that to the right is the science fair exhibit, to the left is the museum's exhibit. There is a big banner over the science fair. Apparently, this is a promoted event by NTI. Tomorrow's future, today!
What does NTI stand for?
It doesn't actually say. Just the three large letters, NTI. But it does pronounce that there are free coffee, punch, and cookies to be found.
Are there any reps about?
You want to go in and find out?
Yes.
Alright.
I want to know what that stands for.
About how far...
Neurotoxin Industries.
About how far along are they on opening the sarcophagus?
Not at all. Apparently, the exhibit hall has just opened, and this is where people are milling around, checking out the exhibits, and they haven't really made any declarations as to when the sarcophagus will be opened just yet.
Okay, then I'm going to check out the science fair first.
Okay. And I'm how about Mr. Along, Lee?
I'm tagging along with Sabrina. Those high school kids, they're very dangerous, obviously. Who knows what an 11-year-old could get up to?
All right, so I assume Mr. Lee follows...
Come along, Pat.
Following Mr. Austin wherever he goes.
All right. So it sounds like everybody is entering the science fair area, unless the cowboy is not. Your doctor went in.
I mean,
wait. I thought the doctor was looking at the NTI.
I'm looking for a rep.
Yes, which means you have to enter the science fair area. So,
all right, they're not okay. Fine.
NTI is not doing the museum is doing the left hand side, which is a sarcophagus and the saber-toothed tiger display and the T-Rex display. There's a few more displays that way. You'll have to go further down to find out what they are.
I thought he was looking for a rep to see what was going on with the sarcophagus. I am mistaken. Apologies.
Okay. Right. So
did I
you guys
have anything about the sarcophagi by any chance?
Well, you'll have to go in there to find out for sure. So which way do you want to go into? Do you want to go into the museum side or the science fair?
I'll check the museum side first, just on the off chance some dead 10,000-year-old mummy is about to burst forth and kill everyone.
Okay.
That's useful to know.
So you trundle off to the museum side. The rest of you go off to the science fair side. Yes, the party is being split already. Awesome.
Yep.
Cowboy, are you going with the doctor?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so we'll start with the science fair side then. There are several beaming, proud-looking 11-year-olds standing behind their exhibits. One of them shows a synthesized gunpowder, including a handmade cannon, as presented by Hollis Wells. One of them has a 9-foot volcano that erupts every 15 minutes. Created by Gary Levine, and there is a reproduction model of a Mesa Indian village. The one kid, Dean Tomasino, has created a sports drink for athletic recovery, and another one has what his the placard says is an ion generator by Wesley Spegelman.
Yeah, I look at the interesting one.
What, the sports streak?
I was going to say, the volcano. Wow.
Yes.
Gary, yes, did Bert. The volcano?
Your humor. Very droll, Bert. Very droll.
Yes.
I missed that droll humor.
Jerry Levine did the volcano. Wesley Spiegelman did the ion generator. Mr. Tomasino did the sports drink. So you're going to go check out the ion generator, then, it sounds like.
Yes. I'm going to check out the ion generator, not the sodium chloride or anything like that. So.
All right.
Who did the synthetic gunpowder?
Hollis Wells.
I'm going to check that out.
All right.
I like how we split the party even while we're splitting the party.
You go to various exhibits and look around. The doctor went the other way, so he's not looking for the NTI people. So over on the sarcophagus side, there are actually a few more exhibits. There's one that's labeled Prehistoric Man. There is a little scene set up where the prehistoric man is making little spear tips out of pieces of rock. And you round a corner, and it's not really so much of a sarcophagus as it is a stone box.
Any identifying markers?
No. It looks like it's been hewn out of a fairly hard stone. You can see some primitive tool work that was done to it. There is a countdown timer. It looks like they are going to open it up in 5 minutes.
Well, Doctor, it looks like we're right on time.
I'm just going to...
less of a crowd than I would have thought.
I'm just going to give it a quick scan to see how old it actually is.
Okay. Apparently, it dates back to the prehistoric... Your thing will show some particular...
Okay,
thing show up.
So this is definitely pre-Egyptian.
Well, Egyptians did things in prehistory as well. they don't just magically pop up. Just as a note.
All right, then. Right. It might be Egyptian in that case.
Countdown timer says 4 minutes.
Oh, well, let's watch. Let's just stick around.
Okay, so, Cowboy, are you there with him?
Of course, I'm the doctor's companion.
Okay,
and
at 3 minutes.
Give me some learning.
At 3 minutes, some museum roadies come by. They've got some tools, some hammers, and some chisels, and they stand at the ready to crack the seal on the sarcophagus. As people, reporters around taking snapshots of the scene, lots of flash photography going around. At the 59 seconds, they've put their chisels around the seams, and as it counts down, 1-0, they hammer it away. And after
I'm betting the doctor is going to be like some dinosaur mummy.
They hammer at it, they chisel at it, they're able to break the seal on it, and the front of it just flops forward, which they've made contingencies for. So they've got some webbing set up to catch the front, and inside is the skeleton of a horse. Wrapped up in itself, it seems to have a rider who is its skeletal hand is clutching something.
Huh.
Does it still have horseshoes on it?
Yes, it does.
Hmm? It has horseshoes? In prehistory?
So. The museum directors are kind of stunned and looking at it, and one of them pulls out a tweezer and a magnifying glass and starts to fish out whatever it is the skeleton is holding in his hand, and it unravels a message. It seems to be scrawled on some very modern-looking paper that had been sealed away and apparently has kept from corrosion. He looks quizzically as he... consults with some of the other museum officials, and then they step forward to the reporters, and they show the message that simply says, 9-volt battery.
Is it written in English?
Is it written in my handwriting?
All right, the next question for everybody. Where were you when the explosion happened?
Ah.
I was in the
I was looking at the ion machine somewhat quizzically.
Okay.
I'm looking behind the scientist to try and have a look at one of these horseshoes.
Okay. Sharon, you were checking out the...
what? Synthetic gunpowder.
Oh, yes, the synthetic gunpowder. And where did Mr. Lee go?
I was with Mr.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. Yep.
Was in the science hall, generally looking around to see if anybody was acting suspiciously.
Okay. Everyone was pretty much acting like normal, precocious 11-year-olds. The parents all looked bored and tolerating the event. Many of them were asking if there were alcohol involved anywhere when they were pointing out that beverages would be served. Other than that, no, this is... So, there is an explosion. Let's see. Pardon me for a second. This is so hard to run off a PDF, let me tell you.
Can be. It can be.
Okay, so there is an awful explosion. All of you find that you have windows in the establishment have been broken and exploded outward. Those of you that were in the museum part have awakened. You are in the parking lot with shards of glass and fire around the shrubbery outside the entrance. Those of you that were in the science area looking at the various exhibits find that you come to beneath several folding tables and folding chairs. Many other people around you are stirring as well. There are a few things on fire as the fire alarm system, sprinkler system, has gone off with its very inadequate drenching of the area.
Huzzahs!
Everyone seems to be intact. However, the area immediately around where the ion gun was, most of the exhibits, seem to be gone. The area is black marks on the floor. The tables that the exhibits were on are just missing, as are all the children.
I was right near there.
All the children are gone too?
Yep. Basically, everybody that were on the observer side of the tables were all blown back, and then everything on like the table side, the children and exhibit side, are just all missing.
The amount of blackened dust and soot.
Oh, you're not there. Hold on, you're outside. So Mr. Lee, what were you saying?
Do I remember anything, given I was right here?
Well, you got close enough to see him starting to demonstrate his ion gun, where there were several interested adults around that were taking notes. Some of them were reporters. Other than that, nothing suspicious.
And then it was too quick for me to even notice.
Yep. They basically flipped it on, was explaining what the gun did, and then you're now waking up underneath lots of tables and chairs.
Okay. And do I notice... I'm fairly smart. I have some smarts. Let me rephrase this. Mm-hmm. Do I recognize perhaps any, like, patterns? I call over the... $500,000 man. Hey, Mr. Austin, perhaps something more in your line of expertise is here. Mr. Austin.
Well, I can look it over. But I don't know.
You do not have many explosions in China.
No. One of the things that was built into Steve Austin's bionic arms was a Geiger counter.
Okay.
Was it going off at all at this point?
Yes. There seems to be higher than normal background radiation count, and it seems to be rising.
Okay. Are just the kids who were doing the presentations missing, or are all the kids like below around a certain age missing as well?
Just the kids doing the presentations.
And it was all the presentations?
Yes.
Okay. That means
basically the whole stage area, but the only one up on the stage were the presentations and those kids.
Okay.
Is there anything left of the ion generators stuff. I mean, the gun itself is gone, right? Is there anything with his notes on it there at all?
No, everything is gone.
Everything at all.
Wow. Okay. And there said you said there's some sort of like dust around.
Yes. There are black, look like scorch marks on the floor where the desks and the children were.
Oh, just scorch marks. Does it look like there's like enough ash that people are like we're just not looking for live people anymore?
No, not at all.
Huh.
There's not really ash. There's just like almost char marks on the floor.
I will look around to see if his parents are around. Did they come here as well?
Well, there are many parents around. Many of them are digging their way out of the collapse of tables and chairs and various other things. Many of them are injured.
Well, I will go around them asking for Mr. and Mrs. Spengler.
Okay.
I shall be putting out fires and helping people in the background while they investigate things.
All right.
With their knowledge.
Sounds good. We'll pause with you guys for a bit and we'll go outside. Cowboy and the doctor, who have just been thrown out windows, defenestrated.
Ow. Where's my hat?
I hand him his hat. While putting on my own.
I assume I now have a large horseshoe-shaped bruise on my face.
No, you've got a lot of road rash from the concrete that apparently you tumbled across after going through the window.
Oh, okay then.
Your horse, actually, you came to a stop right near your horse, who nudges you and to show you that his meter is expiring.
I unhitch the horse and mount up. Come on, doctor. I seem to have a date with destiny to be mummified. Lord help you if I don't walk that nonsense off.
All right then.
So do
get
I,
on the
I
horse.
Haul him up after me and you know.
All right. Well, now there are certainly large enough holes in which to charge a horse through now.
Nobody's stopping me this time.
No. They're too involved in putting out fires and trying to rescue people from the inside.
So I'm charging on in, trying to make a notice of, you know, where our allies are at.
All right. Well, the last you saw them, they were on the science fair exhibit side. You see Mr. Lee is helping people out of the building that seem to be injured and incapable of moving themselves. He seems to be berating them for being fat Americans.
No. You misunderstand me.
1970s, not as many fat Americans then.
Indeed. You are from a great and powerful country whom we long to destroy.
Nice.
So...
All right, but so honor. Yes, you're moving your horse down the high school hallways, seeing people trying to run out of the building. You're creating a little bit of a traffic jam there.
I'm going to try to find the, the science teacher in charge.
Sure. Mr. Austin is also looking for a particular set of parents as well. Mr. Austin, your little Geiger counter is starting to get into the dangerous area. You notice that it seems to be rising every few minutes.
And it's not rising because I'm walking in a particular direction. It's just everywhere.
Yes. It seems to be a field effect that is getting strong.
All right. Time to get everybody out then, I guess. Well, I don't want a bunch of people with superpowers spontaneously generating air because that's what radiation is good for. So, yep, gotta get everybody out then, I guess.
You're helping parents get out?
I will help them get out whenever that is. Everybody out! I will tell everybody there's a danger of radiation so that they can all run in panicked fashion.
Yes, there we go. So now there's a panicked horde running through the hallway. There's a sea of people below you on the horseback there.
Please, your horse is getting spooked. Please calm down. Radiation, it is good for you.
You guys succeed in getting the bulk of people out when there seems to be a large pulse of energy all of you were out of the area at the time, and you look back and you notice that more of the science fair area, the grounds have disappeared, and there's more scorch marks on the ground. It has radiated out further than the first scorch marks that you saw. Mr. Austin, you notice that your little Geiger counter has gone down again, but is starting to creep up slowly.
Well, I will tell everybody, well, I will tell the group around this, and do we stay so that we get sucked into whatever it is so that we're on wherever they are? Or do we think they're just being vaporized into tiny little pieces?
Is portal into hells? I get to fight demons. Yes. I pull out an untruck from Hammer's face. Yes.
I think there's a very simple solution to this. I will take off my scarf, throw one end in the middle of it, and then walk away.
Okay.
Hell portal.
So now we have a scarf that is partially in the radius.
All right.
And now I walk.
Also a Chinaman.
All right. Mr. Austin, you notice that your Geiger counter is starting to rise. Given the time that you saw this happen before, it seems to be, if it keeps up, every 15 minutes there is a pulse of some sort.
One cannot abandon the helpless, Mr. Austin. They still live. We must assist.
About how was the increase in the radius of these?
It was about double the size.
Double the size. Is everybody far enough back so they won't be in the next one if it comes?
No,
not me.
If you want to figure that it's going to be double again, you can stay that far away. Your choice. Doctor, how far in do you leave your scarf?
I leave my scarf as far in so that I'm standing a few feet out of the radius of what we think the next one will be if it's double again.
Okay. Are you holding said scarf, or are you just letting the scarf lie?
I am holding said scarf.
You're holding said scarf, okay.
Still on the back of the horse?
No, I'm off the horse now.
Oh.
All right. If you just wait around and see what happens.
No. Are we going in or not?
I'm going in.
We're going to see what happens to the scarf.
I believe I am going in. There are helpless children.
Okay, so Cowboy don't know what's going on. There's a portal?
Helpless children on the other side. We must help them. It is a code of honor.
So, are people going to wait and see what happens to the scarf, or are you going to intentionally be in the center of it this time?
Nope. Center. No waiting. Sorry, doctor.
Sounds like most people are going into the center. I will join them in the center.
I don't think this is a very smart decision, but I don't really see how we're going to get any more information.
Go big or go home, little lady.
Yes, I agree. So.
All right, Mr. Austin, you see that your geyser counter is reading critical again, and there is a flash. And you
get
all find yourself on hillside.
Is the doctor sucked in along with his scarf?
Yep.
As well?
Yep. Everybody. Yeah. So if you were standing just outside of the radius with your scarf in the middle, everything attached to it went. So you went too, doctor.
All right.
So you all find yourself standing on a hillside, looking around you. There is there's no city. It's all large plants. There doesn't seem to be any structures nearby. This is where they say suggest the musical track "School's Out" by Alice Cooper.
Are there any kids?
You don't see anyone immediately. Off in the distance, you do see something that may look like maybe a small, maybe they're huts, maybe they're lean-to structures.
All right, well, maybe we should head that way, do a little reconnoitering.
I throw my thumb up to the Eldritch Abomination. He an Eldritch Abomination. Perhaps he communicate with other Eldritch Abominations.
I blink at him and say, what?
I point to the demon. He is demon.
Who are you talking to?
He's pointing at the doctor.
Oh.
Perhaps he knows how to communicate with other demons.
Hand to the side of my face and go, "Hello? Is anyone around?"
Mr. Lee, he's not a demon. He's just a little strange.
I look at you concerned about your white man logic and the lack thereof.
Doctor, you yell out, "Hello, is there anyone around?" And there is a sharp report in the air, and near your feet, Doctor, a bit of ground explodes. And coming out of a dense bit of brush is a tall, dark-skinned young man who has a makeshift flintlock rifle that he has pointed at you all. You also notice that around his neck is the remnants of a Boy Scout's kerchief and tie.
Will they have Boy Scouts at the place?
Yes.
Right, okay.
None of you move now.
Not moving. I put my hands up.
No need to do anything rash.
I'll tear that boy down.
Cowboy.
Hey, you better. Point that somewhere else.
I put my hand over his mouth.
Get off this horse. Swear to... Lady! Nobody
settle
pointing
down.
No firearm to, at me.
Settle down. He's just a kid. I raise my hands like, hi.
Actually, he's not a kid. He looks like he's a young adult.
Okay. Hi, my name's Sabrina. You are?
So they call me Wells.
All is well.
You mean us harm? Why are you here?
Kind of got here the same way you did.
He scratches his head. Got here about 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's just great.
Huh. Hollis Wells?
He brightens up a little. Yeah.
Huh. I looked at your synthetic gunpowder exhibit at that science fair.
He kind of beams. He smiles. It's like, yep, perfected it. He cocks back the trigger on his flintlock.
That is a...
Did he get somewhere else yet?
Nope. He's still kind of pointing it in your guy's general direction.
That's good. But could I perhaps ask you where and possibly when are we?
He says, "Mister, I have no clue."
You've been here about 10 years, you say?
Yes, ma'am.
Anybody else with you?
Well, yeah, the rest of us, and the Grandmaster, of course.
The Grandmaster.
My ears perk up at mention of Grandmaster.
And was he someone who came with you, or is that who brought you here?
Yes, he came with us back in the old days. He helped us make our village. He gave us the rules.
Huh.
Interesting.
Indeed. I stroke my chin like, yes, this is something a Grandmaster should be doing. Of course.
What are these rules? In fact, even better, could we come meet this Grandmaster?
You can come as my prisoners.
Awkward.
Well,
prisoners is good. That's perfectly fine.
Prisoners is fine. Take us to your Grandmaster, please.
My brows furrow. Like, I do not.
Now, don't get any ideas. My gun Betsy here can fire once every 5 minutes. I can take you all out.
Didn't you already fire, son?
He looks a little nervous.
I thought as much. I just mosey the horse forward. Which way?
I'm not telling you nothing.
You leave.
Son, don't make me get off this horse.
He actually stands up straight. He pulls the remainders of his Boy Scout kerchief over his neck, and he touches the little symbol that's the little knot thing that's on there. He says, "On my honor, I will do my best to do my duty to kill all outsiders and threats to the tribe."
Oh, that's an interesting.
I assume you're asking for a whooping. I get off my horse.
He pulls out a nasty looking knife.
Cowboy, please stop being rude. We're never going to get to the bottom of this if you continue to be rude.
I ain't the one pointing weapons at strangers now.
Well, this is, let's put it this way. If somebody comes in into your home, uninvited, unannounced, you don't know who they are, you'd be pointing a weapon at them. Yeah, Mr. Wells, can we please go meet your grandmaster, please?
I'm not taking you guys to the village unless this is prisoners.
Fine, I will be your prisoner.
Okay, you can come.
I'm just ready to beat him down.
He's still got his knife out, looking at you, wary.
Don't care about no knife.
I mean, it appears, ma'am, the cowboy will not accept a non-hostile resolution to this particular altercation.
Well, no. Then, cowboy, then why don't you stay here and guard this hill so that if we need to get back
and
to
with
it,
all due respect, and I mean that all due respect, you ain't the boss of me.
Cowboy, we don't have to beat people up.
Are you sure about that?
As you know, come over here so he can't hear me. I'll just say behind my hand, as you know, we don't have to be prisoners for very long.
I start tapping my nose at.
Can I just Austin. Do a quick scan to see if I can tell when we are? I want to know if we've gone back or forwards in time.
Backwards, yes.
Backwards, okay. That's particularly annoying.
We went backwards. However, I believe, you can correct me if I'm wrong here, so it looks like about 30 minutes to 45 minutes real time is translating to 10 years. That's about
Did you have anybody else come through about 5 years ago? I mean...
Five years ago,
he might have had a couple chairs.
Yeah.
Right.
It's like, we got new structure. We're able to put in that new hut.
You got wooden supplies about 5 years ago, right?
Look, so you know where we came from. You know what's going on. I mean...
That was back in the old days. We have a new society now.
By the Grand Master. And no women folk either, I reckon.
We have a woman folk.
Y'all have women folk?
We have Lisa, she who must be obeyed.
She's the Grand Master. Wow, there we go.
No, she's not the Grand Master.
She's the Grand Mistress.
Then why should she must be obeyed, young man?
Because she's very charismatic.
I'm asking the young man.
So Steve remembers that Lisa Bartle was a Hollywood star.
I did.
Yep, I remember too. She's very pretty. So,
But why does she have to be obeyed?
Because she's pretty.
Right.
Okay. The only girl.
Right. Understood. Doesn't.
Interesting. While we walk down to your camp, as your prisoners, honorable sir, why don't you tell us about this Grand Master and his rules, so we may not disobey them and bring dishonor to our household?
Does he start talking?
Yes, he does. He's like, well, yes, he was the only adult that that crossed with us 10 years ago, and he knew a lot about surviving and such. Of course, my handy Boy Scout book, and he takes out a very tattered, repaired several time Boy Scout manual. But between his instruction and this book, we were able to create a new society.
Is it your science teacher?
No. I'm not exactly sure why he was back there at the time.
Did he
don't ask him too many questions. He can be a little severe.
All right, well, let's go then. And I will start walking. I'm going to start walking in the direction he seemed to come from, and I want to look at his face and look to see whether he looks worried, as if I know where he came from.
We've already been walking.
We were already walking. So, Mr. Wells, so you said your, one of your first rules was to defend your settlement against enemies.
Yes.
Have other people other than your group come through here?
No, but there are other things that live here.
Huh, other people or just other things?
Things. We call them the horse shacks.
What are they?
They're kind of short and they make this funny noise. That's why we call them the horse shacks. He kind of mocks out this ooh, ooh, ooh kind of sounds.
Apes?
Oh, no, they're kind of hairy, but no, they're not really apes.
Caveman.
Damn.
Sounds like.
Perhaps Neanderthals.
Is that a funny word for a caveman?
Or maybe Cro-Magnon.
So he continues on. He actually doesn't seem since Sharon, your character, is talking to him and paying him attention. He seems to have forgotten that the rest of you are prisoners, and he's basically leading you on to their village. And so you top a rise. You see below you that the remnants of tablecloths is a banner flying over. If you remember, one of the science fair projects was a miniature scale of a Mesa village. It looks like they have recreated that village in one-to-one scale, but they're linked together. Tablecloths spell out the Cool Kids Village.
Reasonable.
May I just ask, Bert? Sort of thought, those horseshoes I was expecting, are they strangely similar to the ones that our horse has?
Why, yes, they are.
I was afraid of that.
Oh, good. You just thought of this. I appreciate your...
Cowboy is not used to picking up on something sooner than the doctor. He picked up on that right away.
Nope.
Oh, so I guess Lisa, Miss Bartle, laid out your village for you.
Yes, she did.
Yeah. That was a very nice model she made at that science fair, too.
Yeah, it's what it's all based on. Of course, her and the Grandmaster have the best hut in the middle, of course.
Of course. Okay.
There's and the about volcano. Is that to tell time, or what do you use it for?
No volcano in evidence. But what is in evidence as you're coming to the front of the hut is that staked out on a spear is a weathered skeleton.
Does it have Coke bottle? No, it's not going to have Coke bottle.
It does. They have been tacked onto the skull.
Coke bottle
that
blast.
Wesley Spiegelman.
Yeah, it was his fault that we're here. So the Grand Master called this justice.
I appreciate how you say he called it.
I whisper over to the doctor, sounds like the Grand Master needs a whooping. Show him my sense of justice.
Until we know what's going on, don't be too rash.
So I'm assuming that Mr. Spiegelman got you here, but he couldn't get you back.
He tried for the better part of a year, but he needed a power source, and we weren't able to get one together that was compatible.
Oh.
9-volt battery.
That's what he kept saying.
Doctor, you didn't happen to put that 9-volt in your pocket, did you?
Does your...
I believe there wasn't a 9-volt battery, was there? It was just a note saying we needed...
9-volt battery, right?
Clearly, we have sent a note forward to ourselves in the future and failed to do anything with it.
Go on. Doesn't that just make us a bunch of dummies?
Yes.
No, it doesn't make us
yeah.
a bunch of dummies.
They didn't tell us, first off.
Oh, hey, that's right.
I said
we were hit by an explosion seconds later.
Yep, that's true. I will look at my bionics. You, go,
you have a 9-volt battery.
Well, what about the little lady's makeup kit? Does it have a light-up mirror?
Remember that Steve, one of your abilities is to be able to repair and jigger stuff with X-Tech, so you might be able to use your bionics as a power source.
It's great.
What about your screwdriver, Doctor? That thing work on most anything.
Yeah, well, but it's not going to power anything. I've got some repair kits in the TARDIS, but we'd need a way to call it, and I don't have one.
Well, before we start trying to do any jiggery-pokery or anything, did Wesley leave any notes or anything that we could look at and see what he was doing?
Well, we kept all of his notebooks, of course, just in case we got another supply shipment. Why do you guys keep sending back tables and chairs?
We're not.
Because we worry that you have no place to sit.
Oh, well, that was nice of you.
I thought so as well.
Clearly, though the boy has aged 10 years, his mind has not.
Yes.
Well, he's had no formal education, so he's just like, I don't know.
And there aren't any streets around here to give him street smarts.
But he does have a Boy Scout manual, which is good reads.
He made a job. So he's not that stupid.
As he's coming in, he kind of shows you off to the side. He says, "Like that's the bat cave over there where we harvest the bat poop for my potassium nitrate." Whole village has got guns now. He beams proudly.
Yes, that always helps society.
Well, all of us cool kids, of course, and of course the Grandmaster. Well, all of us that are left.
What's the number?
Do you have any non-cool kids?
Well, we killed him already.
Oh.
All right.
That would be... What do you eat?
Oh, well, there's lots of things around here to eat. And the Horshacks showed us what was good and what wasn't as well.
And then you killed them.
No, we don't kill them. She who must be obeyed uses them for slaves now and then.
Right.
Ah.
And what about... How many of you are there? What's a number?
Well, basically names off the rest of the kids. I'm trying to get back to this section where...
Yeah, to find out. Okay. Yep. Well, we got a number. Basically, I wanted an idea of the number of guns, really. Because he said, hey, everybody's got a gun. Which is great. Which means they can fire at us.
So if it's all of the science fair kids, it's four kids. And who they are calling the Grandmaster as well. So five people.
Wow. So few.
And there's
of course, we've armed the horse shacks, too. So, you know, don't get any ideas.
You armed the horse shacks.
And they haven't
that
shot
you're
you.
Using as slaves.
Well, you know, we don't tell them, but we don't load their guns.
Well, you're telling us, so we shouldn't get any ideas now.
Right.
We shouldn't get any ideas that they have unloaded guns.
Right. You got it. Oh, well, because you guys aren't going to invade us or anything, right?
Right. By the way, Hosh, might you want to reload your gun now?
Oh! He starts, pulls out some wadding. And
There's a good lad.
I'm having to see American ingenuity has led the way. But...
Yes, American intelligence has created the place that we see before us today. I don't know
about that.
From the Bat Cave, are the other institutes as interestingly named?
Well, that's a primary place we use for gunpowder, of course. We've got a garden set up. We do hunting expeditions now and then. Torrentino is the guy in charge of that. Oh, mister, you really don't want to backtalk him. He talks to the to Cowboy.
Let Torsino? Me be the judge of that.
Torrentino was the jock that made the Gatorade.
Yeah, he's the jock. So I'm
Tomasino. Sorry, Tomasino.
I'm expecting him to be kind of big and burly.
It depends what protein stuff we could get while he was growing up here.
Do you hunt?
Hereabouts. The garden produces most of the things we need. Occasionally, we'll go out and we'll take down one of the larger animals that don't have lots of sharp bits on them, so you know, man, they don't really fight back so much.
This place is going to confuse the living hell out of some archaeologist.
Sharp bits.
Well, I think we've seen it already has.
Not if we get a 9-volt battery.
Confuse the living hell out of them.
Anyway, by this time, you guys have come to the front, and there's kind of a guard tower that's set up, and there's a rather large kid seems to have a rifle, much like your friend here, trained on you. You also notice that there are several spears tucked in back there, and so, you know, he's at a it's a bit off the ground, so he's got like a heightened visual advantage on you, looking down on you, and he yells out, "Who you got there? Prisoners!"
Quickly, let's all wander in separate directions to show how much of prisoners we are.
Actually, I just wave at him.
I wave as well.
He yells out, "They got anything good? Chocolate bars?
Got some jerky.
I have some jelly babies.
I have knowledge. It is sweeter than wine."
No, they got nothing good.
Oh.
Might have a way to get you home.
He looks over at you. You can get us home?
Don't know. Maybe. Just the stuff.
Ooh.
Hmm.
Huh. Well,
prisoner, my little Dean, foot.
They say they can get us home.
It's not what we said.
Not at all. Not even the slightest.
All right, said we might be able to get you home.
Gates open up. The gates are basically made of tree saplings that have been lashed together. Dean opens it up on the other side. He's still got his firearm out. He doesn't have it pointed at anyone directly, but he's holding it pretty proficiently. He's also got a spear tucked on his back as well. And he says, "Well, put him in Wells' hut, and I guess,
put him in your own hut."
Oh, sorry.
You found the prisoners. Now you have to take care of them.
That's right. Put him in your hut.
They have pets now. Right.
And I guess go get Lisa. She'll know what to do with them. Like, "Oh, okay, guys. Where am I going to sleep tonight, Dean? That's not my problem. You brought him in."
"Hey, I've got an idea. Can't we go in Spangler's hut instead? I mean, he doesn't live anymore, so he's not using his hut. So we can hide
him
there."
"That's off limits. All of his stuff's in there."
"Well, we're prisoners. What are we going to do?"
"Hmm. Sounds like you're trying to convince him."
"I guess so, yeah. Nope, I can't think of anything more convincing than just, 'Hey, put us in there, man. Wouldn't it be good?
Prisoners are off limits, too."
"Yeah.
Absolutely. You should keep all your off-limits stuff in one room.
It's a plus smooth roll. Getting what you want. Let me know what you roll here."
"Oh, okay, I was just checking that nothing gave me extra. But we're not working with XX. So. That's an 8. So, yeah.
Okay. So they do what you want, and you can
get what you want.
Yeah. You can pick one. They act immediately. They do not demand immediate payment. They perform especially well. They are happy with the bargain.
We don't really have any leverage on them.
Nothing there. We'll call it doing it at a cost then. It's like, that sounds like a good idea. And besides, we can bar that door. So, yeah, put them in there."
Awkward.
So you guys are led to, it's mostly this, most of the structure is underground, which is
thankful because it's a little cooler in there, and you do see the remains of the ion gun as well as several other bits and pieces. It looks like he may have been working to try and get it to work again. Sure enough, the door to this place seems to be a bit more reinforced, and they're able to drop a beam on the other side. So, well,
are we able to drop a? Are we able to drop a beam on our side?
No,
well?
Their side, on the other side, your side.
Yes, I know. Are we able to do it on our side as well?
Sure.
Competence.
Sure. So you hear a beam clunk, and Wells tells you, "Oh, we'll get you some food at least. I'm not sure how long at least it's going to be."
Can you please do me a favor? Can you tell Miss Bartle that I do have a makeup kit with me?
Okay.
She'll understand.
She's going to come and kill you. Your competition.
Okay. All right, investigate the stuff.
All right. So it's the remains of his ion gun there. And as I said, a bunch of other things. It looks like he tried to gut a smoke alarm system that got sucked in as well. There's also like what used to be like the security box for the high school got sucked in with the initial pulse as well. And he's been scavenging parts out of that. Looking everything over. Yes, what you guys can figure is... Well, he may have been able to repair it, but he's got no way to power it. You see the extension cord that he used to plug it into a wall has been severed. The other end of it got broken, whatever, but apparently it was created to run off wall outlet.
Is there any way I could build some kind of transformer so that we could power it by some kind of human-powered bicycle or some other such device?
Well, you have no gears. You have very little to work with here.
Hmm.
You said part of that was a smoke detector?
Yes.
Huh. And he totally gutted it, right?
Yeah. It looks like he scavenged the wire out of it, a few other pieces here and there.
Smoke detectors...
By the time he got it working... The battery was probably dead.
Yeah, but is there any way you could recharge that battery?
Look at the doctor and the $500 million man. Inflation, you know.
My gosh.
Bert, is that possible?
I don't believe anyone except for Mr. Austin has a particular ability with technology.
Yeah, the Sonic's powered stuff before, but that's down to you.
Maybe. I mean, it's possible. Once again, you're thinking, though, the basics of what you're going to need is a generator of some kind, and you seem to be lacking a lot of what you need to make a generator. So you might be able to recharge the battery, but you need a generator of some sort.
Now, how does your bionics work? Can we just feed you, and you generate power?
Well, it's my...
How is your living generated into powering your limbs, or do your limbs just have to be recharged every now and then?
He runs off wall outlet too.
Probably does. That's up to you.
I don't think that's ever actually gone into in the series.
He runs off of...
So I don't know. I don't think he's got...
Because it's not going to be worth it, really, if in order to power this thing by you... Your entire body stops working.
I mean, why are they not harnessing the electricity they have around them? I'm talking about lightning.
1.21 gigawatts.
Exactly. Well, no, wait. I don't know, actually. They might have been in the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, actually. I suppose Doc Brown might have been there already. Because that was the 60s. So, yeah. I mean, he might have been a previous member contacted by M. M, is it M, the letter, or is it E-M?
M, the letter.
Could it be Emmett Brown?
Emmett Brown?
Oh, damn.
That would be... I say yes! E-M, Emmett Brown.
It could be. You don't know.
Could be anybody.
Yeah. There we go. Although that is an awesome thought.
Yeah.
He's a contemporary of the Doctor anyway, so we've seen that movie in the future.
Yes.
You could have seen that.
It's primary he handed Cowboy to explain time travel.
You think probably the primary issue is like they've only got modern equipment to get sucked in with them, and this looks like to be the only materials that came through other than tables and chairs is in this room. So you got no way to generate power because you've got no generator. And if you were to try and harness, say, electricity, you got nothing to store it in because it's
connected directly up to the thing. It won't be. I might burn it out that way. What do you need? Vinegar? What else do you need to make the battery?
Actually, that's something that you may have seen that you will see there as well. Primitive. It looks like he did try to make primitive batteries. Like you can see that he used some of the copper and tungsten bits from the smoke detector. So he's got some kind of liquid in little clay jars. But it apparently failed.
How many lemons are we going to have to string together in order to make a battery big enough?
We're stupid. I'm just remembering what the name of this is. It's
we don't even
Spirit
have
of 77. Them. Yeah, we got to harness the power of funk.
I do not know if that. How do you measure funk?
On a funkometer, of course.
So there is a. You hear somebody clear the throat on the other side of the door, and a high-pitched feminine voice calls out, "This makeup kit, neutral colors?"
Of course.
No light-up mirror with convenient 9-volt battery either.
Of course.
Slide it under the door, and I'm sure the Grandmaster will show lenience.
I'm not going to shove my entire makeup kit out. She wants neutral colors.
Well, wouldn't fit.
Do you have a mirror?
I should have two mirrors in my makeup kit.
Okay.
What's it worth to her? Bargain. Only a fool gives away something for free.
Can I speak? I have a mirror, but I'd like to meet Miss Bartle.
I don't think that's wise. We're told you were adults.
Yes.
Well, the Grandmaster says that adults aren't to be trusted.
Is he an adult?
Yeah.
So can you trust what he says?
Well, we can trust what he says.
Well, why? He's an adult. He said he told you adults can't be trusted.
Hey, you can't trick me with that kind of logic.
You can't trick me with
the logic.
You're
too smart for that, aren't you? If you were to come in here and... Well, it doesn't matter.
Well, tell her if she'd like to come out, I'll make her up very nicely. And I do have an extra mirror, but I'd like to meet her first. I mean, why should I just... give you my mirror.
Okay. Give me a roll plus move to get what you want.
Okay.
You're wanting her to come in there?
Yep.
Okay.
And it's 2d6?
2d6 plus move. You might have something to help with smooth rolls. No, actually, no. You took... no.
That's a 10.
Yeah, you didn't take a honeypot one. Okay.
That's 10.
So there's a... clunk on the other side, and she tries to open the door, but you barred your door on your side.
So we unbar the door and let her in.
Okay. Very attractive young lady. Not been able to do much for her looks, though. Her hair is very tangled. She still has the remnants of like a cheerleader's skirt that she's got on, but otherwise everything else has been replaced with skins. Different animals here and there. She kind of looks wide-eyed in there. It's like, oh, they didn't tell me how many of you there were. So, can I see what you have?
Okay, well, is there a chair there? First off, can you please sit down? And I Does she have a comb or anything? She's
hair is like a rat's nest.
Okay. It's like, let's start with the hair, shall we? And I start detangling her hair.
Okay. She makes approving noises and it's like, wow, it's been so long. You know, I used to have people that would do this for me.
Yes, I know. That's because you were a star.
Oh, it was a crap show, really, but, you know, you gotta pay your dues, right?
It gets your face out there. So, anyway, I'm going to continue with the hair, and then move on and give her a nice professional makeup job while the rest of you talk to her. So,
Dean says you can get us out of here.
We're gonna try to get you out of here.
I missed
chocolate.
Quite
possibly, but we will need all of your help if we are to succeed.
Ooh, she bites her finger and says, I don't think the Grandmaster is going to like that.
What, he wants to get out, but not to help get out?
I don't think he really wants to leave.
Why would he? Here he is.
But
odd.
You do.
I miss some things.
Of course, who wouldn't?
Your parents? Do you miss your parents? I'm sure they miss you.
Whatever.
Good for you, little child. Respect for parents is not important to the continuation of any civilization. I do not look at this. Of course, you, with all of your years of wisdom, no better than them. Of course.
Well, of course. I mean, yes. You know, they were just my managing agents. Don't think I don't know they were skimming off the top. Dad couldn't afford that car without my salary.
Of course. They who birthed you deserved none of the rewards of your hard work. For without them, you would not exist. Of course not. How foolish looks at you and says,
Mom's a cow.
Of course. You, I'm sure, are very much smart enough to see when someone is taking advantage of you. And I'm sure we can all take your judgment of this Grandmaster as a judgment of this to his character.
She kind of looks down and she says, look, I don't have a lot of skills, okay? Greg took a liking to me and, it just made it easier for me.
How old is she?
She's like
21,
21
by now.
22 now.
How old's the Grandmaster?
You ask her?
Yeah.
Well, he's about 10 years older. Greg used to be the janitor.
I don't want to think about that.
I don't want to go there.
They taking care of my horse outside?
Good. It's got lots of seasoning on it now.
Nope. It's
that might
my
be
thing.
Some good protein.
Survive being cooked to death.
Of course, I don't know how a 21-year-old thinks about horses, but 11-year-olds probably horses are the greatest thing ever.
Yes, did he tell you he has a horse?
Oh, I saw it coming in. I gave it some carrots. Yeah, they're not as good as the carrots I remember. They're kind of purplish, but, you know, they're fine.
That's a good girl. He likes carrots.
What are you doing with a horse?
I don't know what you're talking about. What aren't you doing with a horse?
There aren't any horses here.
Well, see, he's a cowboy. So, you know, cowboys have to have horses.
Oh, like on the cigarette commercials.
Yes. Yeah. Just like them. Small, worthless child.
Look, I really shouldn't stay long. The Grandmaster's going to know. Well, he probably already knows that you're here. Probably doesn't have anything good planned for you.
This is okay. You tell others that we will get them out. But Grandmaster wishes to keep them here. We will have discussion.
I don't know. I mean, I think everybody else are.
He'll be coming to talk to us regardless, right? He's the Grandmaster. He's got to take care of business one way or another.
Maybe. Sorry, go ahead.
I think he might. Ooh, the Horshacks. They obey. Yeah. Correct?
Yep. He has a bunch of them around him all the time.
Around him, but not around you?
Well, I have some assigned to me, you know, just to make sure I'm safe and such.
Ooh, this.
Safe from what?
Mr. Austin.
Well, there's a lot of things out there that are got really big teeth.
Do you go out there at all?
I do sometimes. Yeah, large cats and what are those things called? Big dinosaurs, small arms?
Mammoths, they are called. With small arms.
Yeah, those big teeth, small arms.
Okay, so why do you go out there?
Well, I go out and I harvest sometimes vegetables and such. I mean, there's not that many of us. We all have to pull our weight. Sometimes.
Really? Oh. Wow, you got the crappy end of the stick.
Well, at least I don't have to go hunting.
You know, back home, we have chocolate. Lots and lots of chocolate. There will be no chocolate here forever.
Think of the stories that you could tell back home. That would get you onto so many talk shows, and they could make movies out of this for years to come.
I want to go home. I want to go home. But how are you going to get us out of home?
We know things, and we can build things. We are adults already. We have knowledge beyond your Mr. Spencer's little skin. So if
consider, I'm getting a lot of echo there.
Echo.
Echo?
No,
it's gone. It's
gone now.
Okay. Consider, you are currently led by a janitor. We have somewhat more experience in the world than him. We have learned quite a deal.
Well, yeah, of course. I mean, he's a janitor, but, you know, he was the adult here, and he did get us through all these years, and I want to go home.
Indeed. But if you want to go home, we must have the others with us. And therefore, together, we stand against him. He will not stand against us.
Well, he puts her hands on her hips and says, they'll do anything I tell them to do.
Of course they shall, which is why you who must be obeyed must tell them that you wish to go home and experience chocolate.
There's just a little drool on the corner of her lips. It's like, okay, so if I go get them now, you can send us home now?
It will be an endeavor. With all of us working together as one, we will succeed where this poor, pitiful young man who worked so hard failed.
As you're talking, from the outside, you hear an older masculine voice yell out, Lisa, come out of there. She seems to cringe and she says,
Cowboy goes out.
That's him. Cowboy goes out.
Well,
okay,
then.
Cowboy.
Foolish white man.
Before she leaves, I'm going to give her my spare comb and a pocket mirror and a nice shade of neutral that she can like put on herself. Okay. Say, there you go.
I will lay a hand on foolish white man who goes out.
He's going out to do his due. Come on.
Yes, I understand, but Horshacks will tear us apart.
You're right. You take care of the Horshacks, I'll take care of the man.
I do not think this is wisest maneuver, white man.
Honestly,
come on.
I know not what this feat you talk about, but the important thing is that we don't have the other young white men. Do you see? If we attack Grandmaster without her laying the seeds, that will come.
She can go out and just say, don't attack. Hey, yes. Everybody don't do that. That's fine.
I was going with more cunning plan, but...
No time for cunning. Go out.
Okay. But an idiot.
The way that initiative works in this game, it's story-based. So what happens is our cowboy throws open the doors and steps out, in which case lots of guns go off. Mr. Cowboy.
Whoa. They just open fire as soon as he opens the door.
He steps out, yep.
So they don't even bother to wait to see if it's Lisa.
Well, no, I mean, obviously it's not Lisa.
Yep.
Wrong male masculine figure comes
right.
out.
Yeah, but but they wait until he gets out before they shoot, right?
Yes. I mean, basically throws open the door, he steps out, and they start shooting.
Okay.
All right, so... The way this works is I don't roll dice. You get to choose. You can, it's called take a hit or get out of the way, which basically means you can try to take it or you can try and jump out of the way.
One's might, one's hustle, I'm guessing.
It's usually just might. You could use hustle instead. If you're trying to dodge, yeah, you use hustle, might if you're just trying to take it.
So I'm going to try to take it.
You're trying to take it. I'm gonna. All right, go for
what
it.
An idiot white man.
Well, they're not gonna have.
We will not have him concern ourselves with much.
Longer. 10.
My God.
Wow. Okay. So yeah, you are. There are horrible shots.
and I have plus one armor because I'm tough. Yep.
Horrible shots. Some of them do impact though, and it doesn't seem they got too much force behind them. So you know you're bleeding a little, but no big deal. You've suffered worse.
Ain't got time to bleed.
So what you see is our previous janitor, who's still wearing his janitor's cap, and otherwise he's covered in furs, and have got a lot of these small, hairy people around him that are holding onto these guns, which have just been discharged, and they're dropping, and they've got spears to take up the to take up afterwards. So we'll pause for just a second. So you guys all hear these gunshots go off inside.
Can I say I've successfully led the charge now?
No, you weren't charging. You just opened
well,
the door.
No, it's just...
So we'll just hold on a second. So everybody inside, yeah, you guys just heard a whole bunch of gunshots go off.
He will die without our assistance. I believe we should help him, Mr. Austin.
Apparently so. Yep. Looks like we're heading outside as well.
All right. Okay. Everybody heads outside. Cowboy. Well, go ahead.
I'm not going to head outside yet. I'm going to stay back there. Is Lisa heading outside?
No.
I'm going to stay.
Lisa is cringing.
I'm going to stay in there with her.
Tell your foolish girl to tell other foolish white men not to help.
All right, so you guys step out. And so the prior janitor guy is standing out here. There are... about 15 of these hairy things around. Some of them had fired and have dropped the guns and pulled out spears. Some of them still have guns. You have all kind of come out. I'll let you guys decide what happens next. It's obvious that they're looking for a fight.
It is the cowboy show. I think he should.
So now I am leading the charge, and I charge straight for what's-his-face. Greg, the janitor.
Okay. All right. So he has a gang of thugs. So essentially, you've got to work your way through his gang to get to him. So you are trying to do some harm.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, lay down some beating.
Deliver a beatdown.
Delivering a beatdown. And now that I have actually successfully led a charge, everybody else gets a my plus one soul to their next roll.
Oh, yeah.
Lead that beat down.
Okay, so roll a 2d6.
Yep.
That is 11.
11. You deal your damage to the enemy and choose one of the following. You will avoid any counterattack, which may be because, you know, damage and attack and defending all happens at once. So if you choose you avoid any counterattack, then you don't take any harm. The other thing that you can choose is deal great harm, which adds plus one to your harm. Deal one stun harm, disarm your target, blind hold or otherwise disable your target, give or take something your target is holding or wearing, push, pull, or otherwise move your target. So you do your damage, and you can choose.
Is there
other
any effect for it being a gang?
No, the gang is basically, they have a pool stat, and you just have to whittle it down.
Okay, and I get to choose one?
Yep, choose one of the list. So if you choose to avoid a counterattack, you won't take damage as well.
To start out, I'll avoid a counterattack.
Okay.
No. Great harm.
You're
going to
do great harm. Okay, so how much total harm do you do?
How do I calculate that?
Well, normally, if you're charging with a fist does 0 points of harm. You actually have to succeed and choose deal great harm to do any damage.
Oh, well, there you go.
So deal great harm would allow you to do 1 point of damage, but you may have something else that gives you more damage. Did you have anything extra?
I don't believe so. Does might effect roll into it any?
No, it just helps.
It's just the two hit, basically.
Okay, so yeah, you wade into the group and, you know, you smack a couple of them down. A few go down. Unfortunately, you do take damage as well. You take 3 harm.
I take
15 guys.
I take 3 harm. Ouch.
Take 3 harm.
Okay.
Don't forget about your armor, however.
Yeah, so it goes down to 2 harm.
Right, I take 2 harm. I dropped for a little bit, or you did. I don't know which. So I just heard, take 2 harm at the moment.
Take 2 harm. That's what happens.
Yeah, they take 3 harm, 2 for wearing your armor.
Mm-hmm. I'm just tough.
Because of your toughness. You cowboy, you.
Mm-hmm.
Who's next?
I guess I will follow foolish white man into fray.
Yes. But he basically just charged into the mass of them.
He does not know how to handle group. I will break out my nunchucks. And out of hammer space they come! My dual nunchucks!
As you deliver a beatdown. All right.
Indeed I do.
2d6 plus might, although you can choose to do hustle, I believe, since you're using a martial arts thing.
Indeed! I shall choose my hustle, although they're equal to my might, so whatever. Ah! My defudge roll says I succeed greatly! Holy hell!
What did you roll?
Also, he gets a
plus 1. Yeah,
plus 1
your
for
soul.
Me.
Plus 1, plus 2. That's a plus 3. That's a 7.
Ooh.
Wow, that was.
Okay, so what happens is you deal damage or choose one of the following, which is avoid any counterattack, deal great harm, deal 1 stun, disarm your target, etc. So you can deal your damage or choose one of the others.
I will deal my damage.
All right. So how much damage do you do?
I count as a small gang.
He does 2 harm, yeah.
Yep, I do 2 harm to my foe.
Okay, several
but
more.
Do I get my plus 1 from my nunchucks as well?
You choose to do damage? Yes, you do.
Ah, I do 3 damage to them I brutally beat the living hell out of these
men. You brutally beat the small hairy men and take out several of the numbers. Unfortunately, you still take 3 harm.
Ah, I am tougher than leather.
Take 2. All right.
And then my shirt comes off.
Yes, shirt is shredded off.
As I have 3 cinematic spear marks through my right pectorals and 3 on my face. And all the while I go, wah!
All right. And Mr. Austin, what are you doing?
Come on, we softened them up.
Is there a Stonehenge sort of thing? Have they built this village around anything? Is there a totem pole in the middle, something? I'm looking for a big sort of heavy
There's actually slab. A stone slab in the middle of the encampment. Shaped awfully a lot like that stone sarcophagus.
Well, let's break time and causality by pulling the lid off and smashing somebody with the lid then, I think. Okay. That's the way to do it.
All right, so you're basically you're picking up an item.
I'm
so going to
pick it up and throw it at them.
All right, deliver a beatdown. So when you pick up an item and use it, instead of just using your fist, you will deal 1 harm instead of 0 harm.
All right, and I am using bionic muscles, so I roll with something extra. when I'm utilizing my bionics to exceed human physical capacity.
Yes, you're picking up this enormous lid. So you roll three dice, and you drop the lowest to calculate your score. Oh, and don't forget to add plus might.
I like how we have all these sound effects going off in the background as we're doing things.
Seven, eight. That's 10 something. That's 11 even.
Yep, so you're over. So, yes, you deal your damage, which is one. And then you can do great harm or...
I deal great harm as well. Why not?
Okay.
Oh, no. I blind hole or otherwise disable my target.
Okay.
So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to throw it into their mid so they scatter as it comes down. Squash one of them flat.
Yeah. Whoa! Sure. That's actually pretty good, which causes them to deal one less harm as a group.
Yep.
So that works pretty well as a scatter. Unfortunately, you are going to take some damage. Of course, with the amount of damage you all have done, their numbers have dropped some, so they're only dealing two harm to you this time.
So we all take one. Oh, sorry, I take one from.
Actually, you will take effect. One. Yes, yeah. Because they're also they minus deal one harm.
Minus one harm. So
you take one harm.
Huzzah!
Probably a stray spear that got chucked in terror.
Oh, did you add your plus one to that roll as well?
It didn't matter. If you get over 10, it doesn't matter. At that
point. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Apparently the dice like Richard, unlike me.
I rolled three times, and I go, I won on a two. And
meanwhile, inside!
Yeah.
What is going on in there?
I'm going to say, Lisa, stay over there. Stay out of the right way of the doorway. I'm going to yell out of the doorway. Do I know the janitor's full name or just his first name?
She will whisper to you his full name.
I will call whatever his full name is, Mr.
Smalls.
Rick Smalls.
Mr. Smalls, call this off before someone gets hurt. We're here to help you.
Okay.
And
you are going to, we'll do this as getting what you want, because you actually have leverage in the fact that you have Lisa in there.
Yep. Okay. So
it's roll plus smooth, 2d6 and add your smooth.
Okay. Gone smooth. Yeah, not so much. That's a four.
Ooh, a four. That's bad. Let's see. So you fail. You get a point of experience for failing, by the way.
It does! If only that mattered.
So yeah, completely ignores you. Lisa tells you though that I've got to get to the other boys before they find out. If he's fighting and they come in, they're going to join him. If I can get to them beforehand, I can tell them not to come, and they won't get into the fight.
Do I believe?
Can I break down a wall on the other side of the building?
Sure. I tell you what. You are trying to
fashion a new exit.
See, yeah, do this as I tell you what, you've got enough stuff in here, and you can basically cut your way through the back wall easily enough.
Excellent.
Yeah, I mean, it's trees that have been woven together, so you know you've got a tool on you of some sort. You can cut through the plant fibers that are holding everything together, and you can push your way out the back.
All right, okay. Now be sneaky, and all then right. I try to gather up some of the kit, and I want to sort of attach some of the electronics that aren't really being used together in a way that I might be able to trick someone into thinking it could explode.
Hmm, okay.
Since it already has done at least once.
Sure. Meanwhile, outside, the carnage continues!
I guess it's my turn again.
Sure, cowboy.
I'm going to sneak out with Lisa and try to flank along to see what's going on in front of the hut.
Okay.
I continue the beatdown.
Go ahead. Another continue 10. The beatdown.
My gosh.
Echo. Great harm.
Echo.
What did you roll?
10.
10. Okay. You're going to choose great harm again?
I don't really got a choice if I want to hurt them at all.
So you continue to beat the little rascals down. There's very few of them left at this point. You would normally, I would say, take one, but you have your armor, so you take nothing as they are feebly, "Stop it! Why are you hitting me? Stop hitting me!"
Have I gotten to Greg yet? Guess not.
You haven't quite got them all down to get to Greg yet, but they're basically feeble at this point. You can't really do harm to you unless you roll really poorly. So you continue to disperse them. Mr. Lee.
I'm using Suedo boxing right next to the kung fu guy.
Ta-da!
Go ahead.
All over their face. Holy hell.
Did you roll 10 plus?
I rolled a 14.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so you take out you mop up the last of them.
Ouch.
Now, Greg is still here, though. He's had time to get a bullet in his gun, so he's still got that out.
I take these few poor sods out, it's almost like a ballet where these are just the extras in my whirlwind of destruction. As my nunchucks maneuver as if I knew exactly where they were going to be, and their heads are my drums. And then after I finish the last one, I do a wide stance with my hand out in front of myself and go, "Wah!"
One of them says something in their language, and the translation at the bottom of the screen is, when will the pain end? All right.
And now I pose next to him just because, and also give a "Wah!"
You light up a Marlboro. Mr. Austin! Greg has a gun out and is pointed in your general direction.
Well, that's not good, but there's only Greg here, isn't there?
Yes.
I don't know.
All of his hairy guys are laying in various poses of pain and
regret. Mostly regret.
We'll help out Lee over there, Bruce, however we want to call him. I will generally be a distraction for him. I will look as though I am picking up. I will pick up a bunch of other stuff that is whatever's in the coffin or whatever we're calling it that's in there and throw it at him as an effort to distract rather than.
Sure.
Rather than to actually attack him myself.
Definitely cause all the rest of them to scatter so that they're not going to regroup. They go running off as Greg yells at them.
No. Okay. Well, that's not quite the effect I was trying to get. I was trying to get help a brother out.
Right.
I was going to directly assist.
Sure. Yeah. Go ahead and roll. Who do you have a hook with?
Bruce. Me?
That's right.
Me.
Yeah. Nope. I fail miserably. It's like I am gonna get in the way somehow.
What did you actually roll?
It's less than six.
Less than six. Okay, so
five.
Take an experience point.
Woo!
Any explosives on danger? That's the.
Yeah, I'm throwing stuff at them. So.
Okay. In which case, I'm going to think that that would allow Greg to get a shot off at you.
Oh well, there we go. Can't do anything about that.
Yep. Goodbye, cool. Yeah, it'll be one harm after your armor.
No, I don't have anything.
Oh, you don't have any armor, so two harm.
Nope. I'm just an ordinary man who happens to have bionic arms, and legs, and an eye. Just an ordinary guy.
He's trying to make that two bionic eyes. Is he?
That's funny.
He shoots off his lead ball, and he's calling out for Dean and everyone else to back him up. Meanwhile, okay, so Doctor, you've ran out. Lisa's with you, and Sharon, you wanted to look around the front to see what was going on. So there's the scene in front of you.
Okay.
He just shot Mr. Austin. Oh, we're echoing through you. That's what's going on, Sharon.
Oops, sorry.
It's all right. We still like you anyway. Yep.
And so he's calling for the rest of the boys. And Lisa's got this terrified expression on her face. Like, no!
Can I take
take the time and get a good aim on Greg.
With what?
I took a gun, remember? It's not a signature.
Oh, you
gun.
Have a gun. Yes, you have a gun.
And you have a gun. You all have a gun.
So you are going to use the smoke his ass action.
Yes.
Okay. It's roll plus hustle.
Okay. Drum roll, please. That is a 9.
All right, choose one.
That's 8. It's an 8.
Okay, choose one. You have to take what you can get, deal 1 damage, or you have to move to get the shot exposing someone. I'm going to say in this case, you're going to be exposing Lisa to danger as you kind of get out of the way to get that shot in. Something may happen to Lisa. So which of the two do you take?
I mean, she is an NPC. Let's all be honest with this.
I'm gonna have to step out of the way and expose Lisa.
Oh, okay. How much damage do you do?
Now I don't know how much damage the gun does.
The gun normally does 1 harm, but you may have something that does extra harm.
No, I don't think so.
I think so. Okay. All right. Actually, gun will do 2 harm. You shoot him. And unfortunately, one of the hairy guys who has been harmed earlier has picked up a spear and wildly threw it. And Lisa takes a spear right to the abdomen.
Oh, no. Ooh.
She looks a little bewildered as she clutches the spear. She looks at you and says, I was going to be a star.
That kind of shoots our entire claim in the foot.
Now what?
I attempt to perform medical treatment.
Are you going to rush over, doctor?
Yes.
Okay. Sure.
Why didn't she leave when I cut this hole in the wall?
Okay. So you're going to... Do you have a kit? Do you have a first aid kit or anything like that?
I know I have one in the TARDIS.
Give me a plus brains roll.
Okay, 2d6 plus brains.
Oh!
5!
5! She's dead, Jim.
Your brain is plus 1?
Yeah, I'm 1 on everything.
Okay.
On the plus side, you get an experience point.
Yes, get an experience
point. On the plus side... Y'all have fucked our entire plan. On the minus side, you get a... Like, no.
There's no fate in this game, is there?
Is she really dead?
Yes, she's bleeding out in the doctor's hand.
Damn it.
Can I rush over there and try to help her?
Sure, I'll let you do the same. You can give a... Yeah, sure, I'll give you a brains...
Be less terrible than me. It's the only way.
Yeah, the doctor actually pulled the spear out, thus exposing the wound and the blood to flow.
Awesome. That's an 11.
This is why I lost my medical license.
So you put the spear back in to close the hole.
The man who was formerly called doctor.
Why are you stabbing me still?
No. Yeah, you basically apply compression, but she's not doing good. She's lost a lot of blood and... if nothing else, if you can't get back home, she's going to die horribly from the infection that's going to set in her guts from the huge hole that's in her abdomen now. Okay. You're able to stabilize her, but she's still a goner if you can't get home.
I guess we got to beat this guy down then.
There's other things you can do, but he's shot his one bullet. He's looking around. He's calling for the boys to assist him as he grabs a spear.
Right. Well,
so what do you do?
Mr. Austin, perhaps diplomacy will serve better than beatings at this point in time.
You're talking to the wrong guy.
No, I'm talking to the appropriate man. You crazy white man. Mr. Hoffman.
I point out you're Asian, not Indian.
He has modicum of sense. Yes, you white. I'm yellow. So, you crazy as...
You say Gaijin.
doo-doo.
Mr. Austin has enough of his whiteness replaced that he's only half crazy.
Exactly. Mr. Austin, perhaps you can...
I thought you were a murdering machine. Suck it up.
Guys, one of those spears hit Lisa. She's hurt. You gotta stop this now. End it. Finish this.
Sounds like a beatdown. And I crack my knuckles at Greg Small. Get on the ground or get down.
I look so sad.
All right. This is a cowboy. Sounds like you're getting in his face.
Yes.
Roll plus might.
That is 10.
10, okay. Sounds good. And he will drop the spear. there's a couple of things you can choose there, but just for sake of story, you probably want him to call off the boys that are coming in. Up to you. I mean, you don't have to choose that.
All right. Let me look at my options here. I get two, right?
Yes. They don't force you to carry out your threat. They give you what you want or what they think you want. They don't try to deceive you. You deal them one harm. They flee or otherwise get out of the way. They offer you an alternative. You avoid any repercussions. You choose two and I choose one. So basically, you know, the game ability is you block off the choices that are going to be worse if I choose.
Let's see. They give me what I want, which is calling out the boys, I guess.
Well, okay. Or you told him to basically surrender, or did you say call off? Which is your choice. So you wanted him to call off the guys. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. So he calls them back, and then what else do you choose?
I guess it's they don't force you to carry out your threat, which was beating him down.
All right. And I choose he flees. So he calls off his boys. It's like, boys, put down your weapons as they come by. And so they're coming in. They look like, they're a little hesitant, but they got their weapons drawn. He's like, put them down, boys. Put down your guns. And while you're slightly distracted by that, he runs.
Sounds like the Million Dollar Man needs to go, na 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 na.
Yeah, I can chase after him if we want.
You want to grab him?
It's either that or it's time for me to whistle for the horse.
Sure, try to deliver a beatdown, because one of the choices in that is to bind or hold someone, or disable your target.
I'm not trying to keep up with him with my speed, okay.
Oh, well, I mean, you want to catch him, though, don't you? Or are you just trying to keep up with him? Yeah, so.
Yes,
So it'll be a might roll? Might plus?
Yeah, this is not true. I guess I'm not trying to do something extraordinary. Hey, know what?
Well, yeah, you're using your bionic legs to match better his feet.
I pick up the coffin because we've got the top, and now we've got the bottom, which is still side. I try to throw it to capture him in it.
Okay.
So that
awesome. Go for it.
Is it already a coffin or just a stone?
No, it is already kind of a square thing that they were trying to hollow out.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. So I'm picking up the hollow, seeing they've already thrown the lid and squashed somebody with it. So, hey. You're not going anywhere. Come back here. I can't think of any. Oh, that's... yeah, that's a 9. That's not awesome.
Yeah, no. So you can choose one, which would be to disable him, so you could get it done. Which would still work. Sort of
disability on what I've done. So, yeah.
Yes. Well, that works out fine because you weren't really trying to damage him anyway, so you get to choose that he's...
Yeah, somebody might come along and see that I'm doing something and shoot me before dropping their weapon or something.
Well, on this one, I don't get to choose something, so you're safe there. you fling the hollowed-out stone and traps him beneath it. The boys all look at you like, cool!
I turn to the Chinaman. See? I can be diplomatic as well.
I do not think you understand your mother tongue.
Dean walks over to you and says, man, do you take sports enhancements?
Yes, he does.
No, this is no drugs, but it is all natural American technology.
Sounds like sports enhancements.
Yeah. Wells, get in here.
Oh, man, what happened to Lisa?
She got hit by one of those spears. Those Horshacks were throwing.
Mr. Small stabbed her.
That is probably not the thing to tell a young set of excitable men with weapons, with disarmed foes lying on the ground, I say.
Oh, can you save her?
Oh, man, good.
When did Bruce get to be such a sissy?
Good. They will not slaughter the unfortunate small men. They are slaves. They are not. Not a bunch of evil ass mooks. They're a bunch of cavemen who were oh my god.
Says the man who says he just went about murdering people at the beginning of the game.
Bruce draws a line to beating down teenagers.
Can we move her someplace where she's not like laying on the ground safely?
Oh yeah. The Grandmaster's tent. It's the best one.
Okay.
Oh man, she's bleeding a lot.
I know. You gotta keep compression on it. You've got the Boy Scout manual. It's got good first aid.
Oh, we need tourniquets. Tourniquets.
Tourniquets don't work on gut wounds. I know from my time in the war.
Well, but the book says if you got a gut wound, you got to go to the hospital.
That's what we're gonna try to do. We're gonna have to pull up things a little bit and try to get her to the hospital really soon.
All right, so you move her as comfortably as possible over to the hut, and now what?
I've been jigging about with this stuff.
Yes.
The techie stuff. Now, I'm looking for two things. I'm looking for, number one, a way to see if I can get it to just send us back, and number two, failing that, seeing if there's a way to use it to remotely call the TARDIS so we can get back.
Okay. Well, give me a brains roll.
Okay.
Roll good.
Yes. Come on, dice. Better at six.
Six. Still
11.
11. Okay. Well, one, it looks like the kid tinkered with it enough that it's actually back in order, but you're missing a power source. That's the biggest thing. The way it looks, you guys had talked about the idea of you harnessing raw lightning, but it looks like if you did that, if you were able to harness a large electrical current, it would last long enough for one pulse before the whole damn thing blew out. But as is, it ain't going anywhere until it gets power of some sort.
Okay, how about number two?
So it's not going to do anything until you get power. You basically got a bunch of components that can't do a thing without power.
What's the weather look like?
What's your use? This sonic screwdriver runs on 9 volts. I swear.
Would plugging Steve in give you enough juice to call your ride?
Well, Steve, you can give me a brains with your exotech to see.
What do you run on?
Wow. He runs on
I am simple Chinese man, but perhaps we could use acidic and basic chemical reaction to cause...
Bruce Lee was a philosophy major. Stop it.
To cause a chemical reaction which could produce power.
Well, we do have that bat cave with all that guano.
It's a good idea, Bruce, but you saw back in the cave that they had strung together a lot of what looked like your idea is, and it didn't seem to work for it. Didn't get enough power to it, apparently. Steve,
that's
what do you think?
10.
That is 10. Well, you could power it. With a 10, essentially, you know, it'll you hope it'll get you home. You could power it because it would pretty much drain you down to pretty low, but you could power it.
Are we looking for how wide an area would it get? Would we all have to get in close to do it? Would it be able to get everybody?
Since you measured the field the first time, you think that it's the burst will be as big as the first one, so it'd be about a small 10-foot area.
But we could cram everybody into that, seeing as there's them and five additional people. Well, we give it a go. It might be able to work. So yeah.
All right. So you're willing to try it?
Yeah.
Okay.
And we'll also we'll crowd around the sarcophagus so that he's still inside it.
Should we leave the janitor?
We should not leave the janitor. Why are you such evil prickbags?
Hey, he said he didn't want to leave.
Yes, crazy people do many things, but we protect them even though they're crazy as dogs.
We do not have time for this discussion. We're either taking him or leaving him. Cowboy, what do you think?
Already hog tie him.
All right. We get Lisa, we get everybody together in the huddle. Go for it.
Out my horse.
Okay. All right. So, Austin. Go ahead, sorry.
No, I thought you said you were going to leave your horse.
No, I mount my horse.
That would get more room, if you don't mind, being under the horse.
All right, Austin, you stick out your arm and you basically connect the ion field generator up to yourself, and you give it a mighty flex of your muscle to to send some voltage down through it, and there's a large blast. Everything whites out for a bit. And we return to the scene of the high school. Mr. Cowboy, the countdown timer is going down. 3, 2, and they crack open the sarcophagus. Inside is a human skeleton with a janitor's cap on it.
Wait, what? We did not save him?
And then there's an explosion!
Oh.
So I didn't hear anyone say they went back for Greg, so.
Oh, yeah, I did.
Oh, you did.
I said I was already hog-tying him.
And I said we were going to do it on top of the thing anyway, so we would have been in the field then when we were doing it. So two of us said it.
All right, good enough then. So it's not Greg inside. So inside instead are a bunch of hobbled together flint lock guns as the explosion goes off. And everyone's hurled through the doors. Okay, so anyway, we'll...
are the kids mystically de-aged again?
Yeah, it's basically the ion generator sent you back right before the explosion.
Oh, awesome. So Lisa's not injured.
Nope, but everyone is hurled back through time again, and it repeats.
do they remember?
No one remembers anything.
But including us,
right?
Wait.
No, so nobody does, so we get stuck in a loop that way until we find a different way to solve it, which is fine.
Yeah.
So we explode and go back in time again. Great.
Yeah. As soon as I recognize what's happening, I take the ion gun and I chunk it across the fucking room. not acceptable.
Yes. We'll see at some iteration that happens.
Yep. I next time that happens.
After the second time through.
Yeah.
Immediate reaction.
Then we never go back. We live here for the rest of our lives.
And if in some iteration, if he as he's trying to get the ion gun, I'm trying to grab that 9-volt battery.
Yeah, we actually bring 9-volt batteries next time.
Well, this time it will be easy, but still, I'm going to chunk that damn thing.
Yeah, so this this adventure basically gives you a whole bunch of setups of what could be in the sarcophagus when it's first opened. So one of the examples was somebody's sweet ride was inside with a note saying 9-volt battery. Yep. So your horse being the sweet ride was inside.
Yep, makes perfect sense.
Yeah. And I don't think they really do expect you to play this ad nauseum until you guys figure out a way to break the loop. So, you know, at some point, you guys will have that few precious seconds before the countdown timer goes off to demolish the ion gun or.
Yeah.
Some of the other.
Powers. Yeah, yeah. So.
Some of the other iterations are there is no Grandmaster. So Lisa is the ruling queen. And has set up the civilization that way.
What a nightmare.
Yeah. Sometimes there are different skeletons that are posted out the front. It's not always the guy that made the ion gun.
I was going to say, did Spangler ever make it out of there? That's my question.
In the version we have where we all survive, is Spangler around still?
Who knows?
Yes. So, it is a causality loop that you guys are ending up having to shut down. I like the Emmett Brown as being the M thing, so I might keep that. That's pretty cool. So the real problem here was the fact that the ion generation field back in normal timeline continues to radiate out every 15 minutes until eventually the whole city is pulled back in every 10 years.
Does it keep going?
Yeah. Well, no, once you successfully get back once, it resets it all back to the first time.
Right, I understand that. Does it get to the point where it will suck the whole world in?
Oh, it could. You know, that's part of the what happens in play sort of thing.
Well, and we just recreate society from there. I mean, that doesn't matter, does it?
Yeah, every 10 years, you're going to get an influx of technology, right?
Yeah.
Crazy-ass white men.
Though at some point, we are going to create a black hole with that if it just keeps sucking mass in.
Well, what? If it goes out of the planet, yeah, but if it doesn't, then...
Why are you crazy-ass white men?
And so some of the other things are the stuffed displays. Like if you ever went outside the encampment to do something, you would have ran into the saber tooths, and if you had killed some or injured some, those injuries would show up on those statues, or not statues, on those recreations. Mm-hmm. All kinds of fun stuff.
Yeah, it was fun. That was a fun game.
Cool.
Yes, you couldn't see that, but I was nodding. Yes, that was fun.
I'm glad I was not dropped from this game due to computer failure. Hooray!
I'm glad that I can now say I was in a game with this party.
With Bruce Lee. And I know that your character is modeled on a specific character, Steven, but I just kept seeing the Marlboro Man.
Yep. You might as well. Dennis Weaver looks enough like him. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He does look like the Marlboro Man, more or less. Mm-hmm.
The one fun iteration was when the Boy Scout guy actually recreates everything in the image of a very militant order of scouts. That's
funny.
That was a fun one.
That would have been a fun one. Alas, we could have experienced that, Bert.
The way it's set up is so in this game, they use a lot of these references to like the adventures are set up for they call the gear shift. So like depending on what has happened before, how much heat you've built up. Heat could be things like drawing attention of law enforcement or doing bad things or making unwise choices. So you start at Park, where Hollis is, which is where we started, which is kind of benign. He sees you guys. He talks to you guys. Doesn't try to kill anybody off the bat. But then he goes all the way up to Overdrive, where immediately him and his ravenous gang of Boy Scout murderers just descend upon you.
This would be very interesting to do as a longer series of games where you are trying to game the system, as it were.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
The problem is I don't really see how it lasts beyond, like I said, the one iteration. I mean, unless destroying it isn't the smartest idea.
We don't know that the ion gun was the thing which sent them back before I start. Yeah. It's just, I mean...
I can see an iteration when someone sticks a note in the cement slab saying, destroy the gun!
Or each time we bring back more power source and get longer time before the next iteration to change things.
Yeah, we don't remember what's gone on.
Do we not? I thought we did. Did we not?
I didn't think we did.
Did you not what?
Do we remember the previous iteration?
No, you do not.
Yeah. Then.
That's cheating.
What you would remember is what you managed to cache inside of that sarcophagus each time.
The only thing we can change is the thing that our characters will then have to react to.
Exactly.
So, actually, only those of us in the museum section would be able to do anything different, unfortunately.
Right.
We've got no instant communication either. So, yes. They would open the thing, and then, 30 seconds later, the explosion goes off. Yep. So they would have to run from there as quickly as possible.
I think what I would do with this, because once again, this is very much a what happens in play shapes the adventure. What I would say is like if you get more and more interesting power sources or try more and more interesting things, you get more time before the ion goes off, maybe, you know, just so that you can have some way of getting that groupthink through each iteration.
Or yeah, that maybe could... the doctor could try to be suspended animation and travel.
Yeah. Oh, the doctor figuring out a way to bring his TARDIS through would, that would have been a cool thing.
Yeah, I was trying to do that, but unfortunately, everything relied on having a power source.
Yeah.
You could have been in the coffin. That would have been awesome.
Actually, that would have worked. I could just suspended animation in the coffin until I appeared.
That is what Steve
that would have been weird if I'd opened the coffin and then, hey, it's me. Don't ask any questions. I'm nicking the TARDIS. I'll come back later.
Yeah, that would have been cool. Questions. Yeah. Yeah, different and interesting ways to figure your way out of it. You know, at that point, the game would shift into... so you manage to not go back and then shutting down the rift another way so that it doesn't spread. Are there any number of things that they could have translated.
Just another day in the life of the doctor.
Yeah. You could have chosen not to go back into the past and figured out how to stop the field from expanding in the normal timeline.
Yeah, we just go to the future and outrace it.
Well, to be fair, we could just have waited until... one of the, you know, bargain shops with plenty of batteries got sucked in.
Oh, hey, Radio Shack. Cha-ching!
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yes. Pity it would have been like 20,000 years and we would be dead.
No, it wouldn't. Well, I mean...
The area doubles every 15 minutes and every pulse is 10 years between.
Yeah, it would be a considerable amount of time. Yeah.
Still would have been a fun thing.
I don't know about you mortals, but it's fine for me.
I'm Bruce Lee. I'm going to die, like, real soon.
Under mysterious circumstances.
Yep.
Painful of death coming up.
Well, hopefully that was enjoyable for people. I'm not sure if I will put this out on a recording or not. We had a lot of echoing, but it might still be salvageable. So in the interest of it maybe going out, say goodbye, everyone!
Goodbye!
Bye, everyone!
Music in this podcast was created by Kevin MacLeod. More great music can be found at his website at incompetech.com. If you enjoy the show, we would love to hear from you. You can find links to our public forums, the software that we use, and other information at our homepage at bluemagic.com. That's BLUMAGIK. Reviews on iTunes, recommends at rpgpodcasts.com, and email to steamsteelmurder@gmail.com are also appreciated. Thank you for listening.